His first job will be urgently finding a way to change tactics in Iraq, in a war he said bluntly the U.S. is not winning.
In my view, all options are on the table in terms of how we address this problem in Iraq.
Some of those options will be laid out tomorrow in a report of the bipartisan Iraq study group. And CBS News White House correspondent Mark Noller has more on that.
At lunch with former Secretary of State James Baker, President Bush got a preview of the Iraq study group recommendations. Spokesman Tony Snow says President Bush will read and study them, but we shouldn't have unrealistic expectations about them.
I think anybody who expects, as Bob Gates said today, a magic bullet out of the Hamilton-Baker Commission is probably placing an unfair burden on them.
All 10 members of the panel are due at the White House at 7 in the morning to formally present their report and ideas for making more rapid progress in Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
I'm Harley Carnes in New York. Indications are not good from the search for a missing father in rugged terrain in Oregon's southwest coastal region. Officials say a pair of pants, just pants, had been found. No sign of James Kim, who struck out on foot on Saturday, hoping to help find his 9 days stranded family. They, in the meantime, were rescued and are in good shape. An Alabama woman, Shalinda Glass of Rainbow City, Alabama, told police her son, Jonte, was asleep in the car when it was stolen. Police say now it was a lie, a hoax designed to cover up the boy's murder.
She is going to be charged, the mother, with hindering prosecution since she did not, we believe, take part in the actual homicide. Now, her boyfriend, Mr. Tolles, will be charged with capital murder.
Etowah County Sheriff James Hayes. Now that New York City has banned trans fat in restaurant foods, how are the Big Apple's famous and not-so-famous chefs going to make the food taste good?
This is going to be a challenge for restaurant owners because it'll require them to do a tremendous amount of work to reformulate some of their recipes, look for alternative ingredients, and they have no choice but to pass that cost on to the consumer.
Mark Erickson at the Culinary Institute. In Anderson, South Carolina, police say David Allen Rogers was driving a truck in the Christmas parade, pulling a float. Suddenly, he pulled out a line with kids and adults holding on for dear life on the back of the float and passed the slow tractor in front of him, turned and sped down Main Street, ran a red light while running from the cops. Cops threw the book at him. They even charged him with kidnapping. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 48 points. NASDAQ picked up about 4. Oil prices down a penny at $62.43 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Today's guest stylist is Laura. She's going to Kohl's Half Price Sale, which is this Wednesday only. Laura, tell us what to look for.
I'm in love with these furry knits. Check out the sweaters in super flattering colors, then head straight over to hats with matching scarves and mittens. Awesome gift, but you'll want a set too. This is the season to add texture everywhere, even to your sofa. Wait till you feel these super plush throw pillows.
You'll want to go all out at Kohl's Half Price Sale this Wednesday only, from 7 a.m. to midnight. Kohl's, expect great things.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry, I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
Nope, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just give me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Rocky memorabilia has been donated to the Smithsonian. The celluloid boxer has become part of American lore and one of the most successful movie serials ever, the sixth installment of which opens later this month.
Rocky's infamous red, white, and blue boxing shorts, his signature black hat, and boxing gloves are some of the objects that will be on display. Sylvester Stallone donated the goods. The six-year-old actor says he is touched.
I'm really unbelievably overwhelmed.
And yes, he was asked to say that famous line.
Yo, Adrian. How you doing?
Darcy Marchese for CBS News, Washington.
A dress code for an apartment complex seems a foreign notion till you hear the reason maybe. In New Brighton, Minnesota, Timbercrest Apartments has banned baggy pants, bandanas, and baseball caps worn sideways in any public area. It's a way to chase the street gangs by denying them their uniform. Most people in the complex seem to go for it. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead.
See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7, Enid Live, Mondays through Fridays, right here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And let me tell you what we have in store for you today. We're going to be joined in the 4 o'clock hour by Brian Copeland, his new book, Not a Genuine Black Man. Brian, if you don't know his work, you probably should. He's a talk host in San Francisco, but he's also an award-winning writer and a stand-up comic, and he is an actor. His one-man show is the longest running in San Francisco, and it is based on the book, Not a Genuine Black Man. Today at 4 o'clock, he is an old friend and colleague of mine when we worked together in San Francisco. And tomorrow, The Price of Admission, How America's Ruling Class buys its way into elite colleges. Pulitzer Prize-winning Wall Street Journal reporter, investigative reporter Daniel Golden, our guest tomorrow on the 4 o'clock hour. Bonnie Wolf will be talking to us about recipes and memories of recipes and cooking and all that wonderful holiday stuff. A lot of the, you know, a lot of the foodie, wonderful foodie stuff and stuff that we can take with us into the holidays, and that will be on Thursday in the 4 o'clock hour, and you know her from her NPR commentaries, which I guess it's the competition, but come over here. How many of these long and boring frog stories can you actually listen to? We love NPR. They do a nice job. But sometimes you really want to be able to talk about things that are happening right here, right now, and that's what we're doing. And you can always join the conversation. That's one of the wonderful things about Enid Live. It is a huge, rollicking, sometimes illuminating, sometimes frustrating. We always hope that it's an interesting conversation every day for 4 hours, Monday through Friday. It costs you nothing to join the conversation, costs you nothing to weigh in and really be heard. Now think about this. There are all these gatekeepers every place. If you want to write a letter to the editor, they might not let your, you know, they might not print it. If you want to write an op-ed piece or write a, publish a piece in the paper, you're going to have to go through layers of editors. But if you want to be heard, you are easily heard right here. And if you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320, you don't even have to spend a 39-cent stamp to do it. You don't have to put a stamp on your submission. You just call, and we're here. And if you're outside the area code, it's 866-626-1320. You can email me, and I love to get your emails. I can't always respond to them because I'm overwhelmed, but Enid at kctc.com, and we stream live 1320leftchannel.com. I want to give you a little, I thought we'd start with a little bit of a language lesson, brought to you by the same entity that brought you Schmooze and brought you Chutzpah. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, Schnorr. I'm going to give you a language lesson on Schnorr, and I have a reason for doing that. Well, you know the definition of chutzpah. It's a great Yiddish word, and it means nerve. Not just nerve, but I mean nerve on steroids. The kind of nerve that's been described as when a kid murders both of his parents and then throws himself on the mercy of the court because he's an orphan. That kind of nerve, that's what you call chutzpah. Okay, so that's number one. And number two, the word schmooze. The word schmooze is a great word, and you've heard it used oh, you know, everybody uses the word schmooze. When you're at a party and you schmooze somebody up, I sometimes say schmooze and cruise, but schmooze means to, not only just to talk to somebody or to network, it's recreational conversation. You know, you're schmoozing, you're having a conversation. Think about sitting in a cafe and you have all day long to do it, and whoever comes in and whoever goes out, and you're passing the time of day, and you are dealing with the world's, all the world's issues. So that's what schmooze is all about. So when you're schmoozing somebody up at a party, it might be for purposes of friendship, it might be for more nefarious purposes, it might be for job purposes, but that's the definition of schmooze. Shtick is another word that has come into the language. These are all great Yiddish words. Shtick is a great word that has come into the language, and it means your act, your thing. And literally, shtick means piece, like a piece of a pie or a piece of something. But it also has the meaning of your act, your thing. Shtick is your act, your thing, so somebody's Kramer, for example, his shtick is to be Kramer. But he also expanded on it when he got into big trouble at that nightclub. So those are three great Yiddish words that have made their way into the mainstream, and we haven't even gone into the other SH word, schmuck. Well, there are a lot of words. Well, I want to add one, because I really think that it applies to the governor, and that word is schnorr. And we used it yesterday. That hasn't really made its way into the mainstream yet, but I'm hoping that it will. And the occasion for it is when Schwartzy is going out with his begging cup to some of the biggest corporations in America in order to shake loose money so that he can have an imperial inauguration. And let me give you the definition, because what's great about Yiddish is very often there's a sarcastic edge to any definition. So I'm going to try and make it as true, as close to the bone as I can. But schnorr, when someone is schnorring something from you, it isn't that they're a homeless person and they're asking for a handout. It's not that kind of begging. It has with it the aspect of begging, but it's also somebody who's always got their hand out, somebody who's a taker and not a giver, somebody who's always trying to catch something from somebody, and not necessarily somebody who actually needs it, just somebody who's got that mentality of always trying to get something for themselves. That is a schnorr. And so I'm thinking that since the governor, who is so rich, he doesn't take a salary, is knocking on the door of all these big entities, Chevron, PG&E, trying to get money for his inauguration so that it's going to be some grand affair. And, you know, you can get a $50,000 ticket. It's just unseemly. Now, I'm the one who's naive here. This is the way business is being done in the capital of California. It's the way business has always been done in the capital of California. But for some reason, I find it particularly unseemly that they are knocking on the door of all these big corporations to get these big donations. This is a rich man. I think it's unseemly that he thinks he has to ride around in private jets and have this Hollywood kind of celebrity, larger-than-life, puffed-up, steroid-addled presence. But I guess he does. And I'm offended by it. Now, maybe you're not offended by it. Maybe there's something in us that loves that imperial presence. I don't know. But so I'm calling him a schnorr. He's schnorring from these big corporations. And it has a little funny twist to it, too. But it's a little sarcastic. It's unseemly. A person who's a schnorr, you know, you don't say that about someone who's really, really poor and who really needs the handout. You don't call them a schnorr. There's probably a better word for that person. That person really needs it. We're talking about somebody who's always trying to get something for nothing, who's always trying to get something out of somebody. And in this respect, I think he's schnorring. And I wonder what your thoughts are. So I've got a new name for him. I was going to call him Governor Schwartzenschnorrer, but I think I'll just shorten it to Schnortzy. What do you think? 349-1320-866-2613-20. So Governor Schnortzy, Governor Schwartzenschnorrer. Anybody who's a linguistic, and you know, if you speak German, German and Yiddish are very close. High German and Yiddish are very close. So maybe there's an equivalent word in German to schnorr. But I think it's unseemly. And I'm wondering whether you also think that it's unseemly. There was a story in today's B, and we have lots of things to talk about today. We have Robert Gates, who I think has been confirmed now or has been testifying, and we have all kinds of stories. We have all kinds of information, and we will get to those stories. But I was intrigued to see in the B today that the county system, now that everybody's got Wi-Fi, everybody is looking at Google scanning zillions of books from some of the top libraries in the world, libraries are looking at the possibility that libraries might really disappear as we know them. I love libraries. I love librarians. I am very at home in libraries. I haven't... you can go to a library and there's just a whole... There are all these periodicals that you can look at. There are books that you can look at. I don't think it's the same being able to scan this stuff as to hold it. Nothing is more portable than a book or a magazine. But the library is really seriously considering the possibility that libraries are not going to exist anymore in the same way. So... digitizing vast library collections is an example that's being given of how people will access information in the future. Now that Google has agreed to scan millions of books from five major libraries and to make their content searchable on the web, can the disappearance of libraries themselves be far behind? Will libraries be far behind? That's the question. The disappearance of libraries. Will libraries be disappearing, do you think? Anytime. Can you imagine a time when libraries disappear? I think we would be so much poorer if that happens. I can't imagine that it's the same thing to digitize everything and to look at it online as it is to just read it. But maybe my imagination is not great enough. So I have a couple of questions here that I want to share with you. One of them is... Schwartz and Schnorr, do you find it unseemly that Schwartzy is going out with a, you know, knocking on the doors, his people are knocking on the doors of these big corporations to finance an unseemly imperial sounding inauguration, not to mention that, but subsequently private jet travel and all the celebrity trappings that Schwartzy has become accustomed to. So in Yiddish, it's a great Yiddish word. It's a you're a schnorr when you do that. It's just odious. There's an odious quality to that kind of unseemliness. It's just not the right thing to do. And so I'm calling him Governor Schwarzenschnorr, or Schnortzy for short. And what are your thoughts about that? Is that too horrible, or is this what all governors do? Or does he think he has an overly grand opinion of himself? And I want to talk about libraries. I think those of us who are into talk radio, who love to think about things, who love to think about the issues, are probably people who are readers. There may be only 10 of us left in the universe, but to see libraries hit the dust would be a very sad story. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Mike in Orangevale. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Enid. Schnorts and Graven.
Boob and Grabber, Schwartz and Schnorr.
No, Schnorts and Graven, or Schnorts and Groper, as it used to be. Libraries aren't going anyplace, and it may be reduced, but we hear the same thing 20 years ago about the printed word and books becoming everything going on to computers. Libraries will be with us because there are too many people like us, I mean you and I, who love libraries. They're not going anyplace. It may be reduced in number, and I hate to see the hours reduced, but I share your feelings about libraries and librarians. I just don't think they're going to go.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope that, but you know, they're talking about it like they could really be heading out. I thank you, Mike, for the call. You're breaking up. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You know, when you don't have a job, you go to the library and there are all these resources that you can tap into to bring yourself up to speed, to find out where to send your resume. I mean, there's so much information and the librarians are so helpful. You don't have a computer at home, you go to the library. They have computers and you sign up and you get to use them, and that's a really wonderful resource. Marjorie in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Marjorie.
Hi, Enid. You know, I'm concerned that libraries will be gone someday, that somebody will have everything, all of our information on Internet, and somebody can push a button and all the world's knowledge could be destroyed if we don't have books. Think about how all those books were destroyed except for the ones that the Irish priests saved. Remember that?
No, when was that?
Oh, it was, I think it was way back after the Crusades, or maybe even before that. Somebody wanted to do away with all, well, of course, probably some fundamentalists of another stripe. But they destroyed a lot of books, the world supply of books, to a greater extent, except for the ones that the Irish priests saved.
And computers crash. And you know what? We were being warned last Friday of a cyber attack by Al-Qaeda. So if they want to really attack our culture, in case anybody's still reading, they can get rid of all of our books with two or three keystrokes, maybe.
I love libraries.
I do, too. Thank you, Marjorie. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Is it too horrible to call Schwartzy Schnortzy? Governor Schwartzen Schnorr, what do you think? Mike and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hi, how are you, Enid?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, I think you have to go back to your Yiddish dictionary and look it up. It's like, he's not a schnorr, he's a narr.
Well, he is a nar, but a nar means a nar means a fool. But I like the knocking on the door of Chevron, PG&E, and all these big rich companies. And I wonder what they think they're going to get in return for buying $50,000 tickets to the inauguration. I'm still waiting for my invitation. Must have gotten lost in the mail.
Yeah, and what chutzpah.
You got it right. All right, Mike. Thank you. I appreciate the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have lows tonight right around 33. It's going to be a little bit warmer tomorrow, high 61, 62. I do not think it's going to be like that on Friday or Saturday. We are going to see some precipitation. We have hit and runs going on at northbound 99, just north of 12th Avenue, southbound 99, just south of Sheldon Road, East Bidwell Street en route to westbound 50, and Watt Avenue at El Camino Avenue. We have a two-car crash. Looks like eastbound 50 at Front Street, Florin Road at Power Inn Road, and northbound I-5 at Airport Boulevard, all two and three car crashes, and there it's really thick traffic over there, especially downtown and around the Capitol. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
This is Al Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. It's full frontal radio.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? And noise. this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You agree it is that truth. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Talk to Enid now.
349-1320.
On the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, it's a gorgeous day and more of a run-up to the holiday. Walmart is going to say Merry Christmas this year. I'm saying everything. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, have a great Kwanzaa, Happy Holidays. It's all good to me. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about two things. First of all, I'm rechristening the governor. I've been trying very hard to find a new name for him that would really say it. So I'm thinking, you know, people have names for him, Schwartz and, you know, Boob and Grabber and all kinds of stuff. And we were calling him Schwartzy, and maybe we'll revert to that because it's easy and he has a long name. But I'm thinking he's a schnorr. They're just trying to schnorr all these contributions from people for an imperial inauguration, schnorring our votes. I mean, you know, he's a slick guy. Maybe he's an okay guy. He's a very charming guy in person. I think about him that there's probably less there than meets the eye. Maybe he will surprise me. I think his wife is some of the brains of the operation and some big brains. And that great Yiddish word, when you schnorr something from somebody, it's just got an edge to it. It's got a sarcasm. It's more than just begging. You've always got your hand out. You know, there are people always have their hand out. They are takers. They are not givers. They're always figuring out ways to catch something from you, and I think it has that aspect to it. So I'm calling him Schwartz and Schnorr, or Schnortzy for short, and I don't know what you may want to weigh in on that. Kelly and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kelly.
Oh, hi, Enid. I'm a new listener, actually, and I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm from Sacramento, and I'm a state worker, and I'm on Highway 50 in the muck that he can't fix. And this guy irks me so much, and I would call him Schnortzy. Because what happened to his promise never to take contributions from special interests? Now he's taking contributions for his party?
For his party, so that it's not just a party. I mean, this is an extravaganza. This is like the coronation of the Queen of England, maybe.
And it's all special interests that's giving it to him.
Right?
Right. The gall of him is amazing. I can't believe that people that see it.
Well, I'm amazed, too. People are very easy. I don't know. He's hoodwinked a lot of people. He is. Yes. That has been. He has managed to do this on many levels. He's managed to do it in his career. I mean, you're not gonna. This is a guy who has, you know, few acting skills, but he has managed to take what he has. He's managed to amp it up and pump it up and, you know, steroid it out. And he is had a bodybuilding career and a successful acting career. And now he gets reelected governor when he was just rebuked by the electorate of just about a year or slightly more than a year ago. I don't know how he is.
This is take a contribution.
Well.
And look what he's doing. It's unbelievable.
How did you find our radio station, Kelly?
Just flipping through, looking for something that was Democrat instead of Republican. I can't stand them.
All right, I'm going to make you put an IC on Democrat. Democratic. The Republicans have tried to strip mine that word and make it sound rough and tough and
Democratic.
Horrible. Democratic. Okay, we're delighted that you found us, Kelly. I hope you call us again.
Okay. Thank you.
Governor Schnortzy, that's his new name. And we're talking about libraries. Because in the V today, county system is looking at a future of books read on computers. I hope that doesn't ever happen. First of all, you expose yourself to a lot of low-level radiation. Secondly, what could be more... It takes a long time to download the thing. What could be more portable than a book or a magazine? A paperback certainly is usually pretty portable. I mean, the idea of libraries that may exist sometime in the future without books. And I think we have to have a push for more people to use our libraries. And the more we use our libraries, the richer we are as a society, I think. And when you're in tough times, boy, there's no greater help like a library. Gail in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Gail.
Hi, I'm sorry, I have a bit of a cold, so I apologize. Couple things. One about our governor, if you excuse the phrase. I lived in Vienna for some months, and they despise him. They embarrass him.
Why? I would think that since he's done so well in this country, haven't they named stadiums and all kinds? Aren't they proud of the native son who did well in another country?
Yeah, except they went back and they chiseled off his name off those stadiums that they had put it on.
Why?
Because he embarrasses them because they know he's a fraud. They don't believe that anyone who makes money by building up his muscles and is a low-grade actor and makes the kind of movies he makes should is any way qualifies as a government policymaker, which we should know just by looking around us. They're right. He's not a policymaker. He's more a sociopathic who's found his niche by turning an actor, bodybuilder, showman, and for some reason, too many Californians have fallen for it, and we've done this before with low-grade actors who learn their lines and put up a good front and are attractive, and that's all we ask of them.
Well, I can't disagree with you. We've got somebody in a head of state of this country who's an even lower grade than Schnortzy, if you can believe that.
Well, that's because he had Papa and all of Papa's friends helping him out. There wasn't one single accomplishment our current president really did without the help of his dad bailing him out, other than marrying Laura, for whom I have the greatest sympathy. I'm getting off my point. I love libraries. I think that knowledge is power, and that is why they are closing all over this country, if you've not read about it. They're closing all the EPA libraries. They've started with the one in Maryland. They've closed it. All the materials are not available to the public or to researchers, and that's all the history of Chesapeake Bay. And one blog I read was that they're going to not only keep it away from the public, but they're going to destroy all those documents, all those records kept way, way back. And they know that knowledge is power, and it is dangerous for us to give up our libraries. I love libraries. I love being able to discover things. If they manage to take away our libraries and say, oh, you can get it on computer, Well, we have had an experience with voting on computers, and look where it's put us.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the EPA libraries, because I've been meaning to talk about it, and we've gotten sidetracked on a lot of other things.
Right.
And here is, essentially, here it is. There are budget cuts now that would cripple the whole nationwide system of Environmental Protection Agency libraries that government researchers and others depend on for hard-to-find technical information.
Exactly right. Right.
And
their own information, it's being used against them, and they don't like it, so guess what? They're going to take it all away.
All right, let me give you an example of exactly what you're talking about. This administration wanted to get rid of the estate tax, which they charmingly refer to as the death tax, the estate tax, which really only applies to the richest of the richest of the richest in this country. And because they weren't able to get that through, what they did instead was to go to the IRS and cut the number, fire half the auditors who audit estate taxes. They just got rid of half of them. So they couldn't get rid of the estate tax itself. They decided to fire the auditors who audit the estate tax. So you know what? You can do whatever you want. You won't be audited, it looks like, to me. And it's the same kind of thinking here, where this budget cut would shutter this whole wonderful network of EPA libraries. So you know what, Gail? I'm really glad you brought it up, and thank you for doing it. 349-1320-866-2613-20. Well, Barbara Boxer says no more of this in the middle of the night. No more of environmental rollbacks that happen in the middle of the night. And just to add to the conversation, you've got the guy who's in charge of, who has been in charge of, James Inhofe. He believes that global warming, and these are areas that he's been in charge of, he believes that global warming is a huge hoax. And he compared people who believe in global warming believers of the Third Reich or something like that. I mean, the guy's astonishingly stupid. But in any event, the conversation we're having is about the possibility of libraries morphing into something else in the future. Red in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Red.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good.
It's a gorgeous day.
Oh, good. It is a gorgeous day.
Listen, I wanted to pay a little homage to the librarians. As long as you're talking libraries, and then afterwards tell you why not to despair because of electronic online reading. But about the librarians, of the four big humanitarian professions, doctoring, lawyering, teaching, and librarians, librarians have been the only profession of the four that has not caved in to politics. The doctors cave into pharmaceuticals and insurance industry. The teachers have caved in all over the place as an institution. These are as institutions, not as individuals. But the librarians and their library associations have stood firm on issues of censorship, on issues of passing out library lists and so forth.
They also challenged the administration on aspects of the Patriot Act.
Yes.
And nobody else had the courage to do it, but our beloved librarians, you know, hordes in their practical and sensible shoes, marched forward. God bless them.
Yeah, they have been fiercely courageous. I dare say a few of them have caved in, and I don't blame them. When you're visited by someone from Homeland Security saying you not only have to turn over your list, but you'll disappear if you tell anybody you did so, I can understand a few individuals not being able to take that kind of heat. But as a whole, they have stood as fierce protectors, and they are really, I mean, libraries are the repository of our culture. And they have stood as stewards of that repository since this country began, and I just think we owe a lot to them. And I'll tell you why not to despair about the electronic stuff. It's because libraries have always, strangely enough, stayed in the most advanced position with respect to culture. They have been able to stay one step ahead when there was, you know, before the word affirmative action came into play, libraries were going out into minority communities, into difficult places, into isolated rural places with their mobile trucks and stuff to get the books out. That was before we were concerned with the poor or the minorities. They have always had a program one step in advance of the culture, because they're very aware of culture and how to get resources to a culture. So I just
I
think with this electronic stuff, don't worry, the libraries will figure out how to make use of those devices to further increase our access to information.
Oh, I like that. And your defense of libraries and librarians has been eloquent. Thank you, Red. 349-1320, Brian in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I had a comment about your previous caller about she was saying the Austrian people are embarrassed by Schwarzenegger.
That's what she said.
That's not correct. I have not yet been to Austria myself, so I can't say firsthand that I've seen it, but I heard on the radio some time ago, I believe it was earlier this year, that there were some monuments and whatnot that were dedicated to him where his name had been removed. And the reason I heard earlier this year was because Schwarzenegger refused to stay the execution of that gentleman, the gang member down in L.A. who was executed.
Well, I remember vaguely hearing something about his name being taken off, and I don't remember exactly the circumstances. But since you haven't lived in Vienna or Austria, and since you're only hearing this like second or third hand, how is it that you know for sure how the Austrian people feel about Governor Schnorzi? How do you know, Brian?
Well, you can't know unless you're there and you spend time with them.
Well, and you haven't been there, so how do you know?
I'm telling you what I've heard. I don't.
Oh, yeah, I know, but you've heard it. You've heard it like 10th hand. So we got to do some research here. We do thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday because my grandmother always thought Tuesdays were lucky, and why not? Let's just carry on that tradition. If you think a day is lucky, you create a self-fulfilling prophecy. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West. Well, thank you very much, Enid. The traffic is so thick. I just was reading all of it. Wow. Watt Avenue and Madison Avenue. We've got to get and run over there. Westbound 50 just west of 48th Street. Now, that disabled vehicle looks like it's blocking traffic a little bit. Northbound 99 just north of Sheldon Road. Northbound I-5 at Q Street. Rosemont at, I don't even know how to say that. That street, F-U-S-I-L-I-E-R. Anyway, that hit-and-run three-car crash over there at Rosemont South Stack is slowing things down quite a bit and stopping it just above Northbound 99, just north of 12th and East Bidwell Street at Westbound 50. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. The only channel left.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate. It's a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The
The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and Elm in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
On the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We've been talking about libraries, and we've been talking, the reason we are talking about libraries is that the county system is looking at a future of books that you might look at them on computers. And I want to talk about a couple of things. First of all, it took them forever to build a new main library in San Francisco, and guess what? They spent all this time on the architecture and how it looked and everything else, and you walk in, and books are a little on the scarce side. So it wasn't a facility that a lot of people feel it's not a facility that's very user-friendly and not a facility that's very book-friendly. And that happens in a lot of libraries. The other thing I want to talk about when it comes to libraries is the fact that you can often request that the library order a particular book. And it's a wonderful, you know, they can't always do it. It depends on if there's enough demand for it and budget considerations. And if they can't and don't have it, there's always the interlibrary loan. So even if your library doesn't have a book, maybe it's even an esoteric book, there's this whole network of being able to send out around the state and, I don't know, maybe even around the country for that particular book. So it's a wonderful, wonderful system. It's great to go into a library. Sometimes you don't know what you're looking for, and your eye alights on all kinds of stuff. And at the same time, you have an administration. If anything is to do with real information, scientific fact, remember now, we've got a person who's been appointed by Dickey to head up the women's health section of Health and Human Services at a federal level, who's an OBGYN, who doesn't believe in contraception, even for married women. He thinks it's demeaning to them. And he has gone on record as saying if a woman has sex with too many partners, it alters her brain chemistry and she can't bond with somebody. So this is what we've got in scientific positions. And then you've got James Inhofe, who believed that global warming, a senator who was, he believed that global warming was a hoax, and who is poised now to take over the Senate Environmental Committee, promises a sea change from 6 years of Republican inaction on global warming. And this is Senator Barbara Boxer, our own Barbara Boxer, Bobbo. She's going to lead the Environment and Public Works Committee, and this is beginning in January. But she is saying no more environmental rollbacks, no more in the middle of the night rolling back stuff when nobody's looking, and they're doing it under cover of darkness. And here is a budget cut that would shutter, and I hope the Democrats is the first thing that the Democrats restore, a budget cut, proposed budget cuts that would shutter, would cripple a nationwide system of environmental protection agency libraries that government researchers and others depend on for hard-to-find technical information. The $2 million cut sought by the White House would reduce the 35-year-old EPA Library Network's budget by 80%. 80%. They want to starve it. They wanted to starve government. They wanted to do this war on the cheap. They want to starve an EPA system of libraries and would force many of the 10 regional EPA libraries to close. That, in turn, would dramatically reduce access to certain EPA reports, guidance, and technical documents that are used by the agency's scientific and enforcement staff, as well as private businesses and citizens. They're moving ahead very quickly on very substantive cuts to the library program. They really don't have a good plan for continuing to provide access for the public and even their own researchers and scientists to the information. So they want us, do you want to comment about this? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You know, you have a president who's incurious, who has no grasp of the details, who's in way over his head, who's completely out of it, and who knows if he's on the sauce again or he isn't, but he's out of it without the sauce and more out of it with it. And as one of you put it, at one time in his life he inhaled half of Peru up his nose. So whatever permanent brain damage it did, we don't really know. But I'm telling you, to shutter EPA libraries, to try to mitigate any kind of scientific information, to appoint people who barely believe that the earth is round is a hallmark of this administration and really troubling. And somehow we have allowed it to happen. And one of the things we discussed yesterday was the fact that here's an approval a president who is a lame duck, who has a 60% disapproval rating, and people still treat him like he knows what, like he's a president. I know you have to honor the office, but he is just, the whole thing is pathetic. And today, he's saying we're winning in Iraq. He's been saying we're winning in Iraq. Robert Gates, who is being nominated for Secretary of Defense, says that we're not winning, but he says we're not losing either. So you have people who are in charge of science projects who don't believe in science, people in charge of women's health who really don't believe much in women's health, certainly not when it comes to any kind of reproductive or sexual act, you know, no contraception. The guy who's in charge now of the women's health section, Health and Human Services, doesn't believe that even married women should have contraception. He says it's demeaning to them. And that if you have too many partners, a sexual relationship with too many partners, your brain chemistry is altered and it gets in the way of your ability to bond with anybody in particular. So 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And that tracks back to our original discussion about libraries. You know, at a time when book sales are down by about 2% year to year, this year they're down. At a time when newspaper circulation all over the country is down and the model is being rethought, you know, is the model of a paper newspaper going to be, do you know anybody who's under 35 who reads a newspaper? It almost seems like what is important in the culture is slipping away. And one of the great bastions of the culture is the library. So whether it's the EPA libraries or whether it's your neighborhood library, lots of times they build these new libraries and they're gorgeous architecturally, but they don't have much room for books. And I have to tell you one wonderful my library story. I got a little library in Marin County, Larkspur, one time to subscribe to Italian Vogue magazine. And the librarian, the head librarian said, well, you know, a lot of people don't read Italian. I said, that's not why they're reading. They're looking at it for the pictures. Most people can afford to go out and buy People magazine for $3 or whatever it costs. But Italian Vogue costs 15 or 20 bucks an issue sometimes, 12 to 22, depending on how thick the issue is. And maybe that's what the library should be for, those expensive publications that are kind of pricey for us to buy. And you know, they bought it, they subscribed to it, and it was one of the high circulation publications in that library because people loved looking at it, and it was exotic. It wasn't what you usually find in a library. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. It looks like things are going on over there by Florin Road and southbound 99. Northbound 99 just north of Sheldon Road. In fact, on southbound 99 all the way to Elk Grove Boulevard, I guess our traffic is just really super thick over there. When you get to the fun little spot coming back, I-80 West and Madison Avenue, and on the way to Roseville, nice and thick there as well. Florin Road at Excelsior Road, we have a hit and run slowing things down. And Watt Avenue at Madison Avenue, a hit and run doing the same. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know what you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. And can you hear the sound of hysteria? Let's subliminal.
Than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
They told me
on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7. We've been talking libraries. Well, we've been talking Schwarzenschnur. That's our
1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320
Robert Gates clears his first Senate hurdle.
I am under no illusion why I am sitting before you today. The war in Iraq.
And he says all options are on the table.
He's not Don Rumsfeld.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. After cursory hearings, the Senate Armed Services Committee has endorsed Robert Gates for Secretary of Defense, sending the nomination to the full Senate, which could vote as early as tomorrow. Daniel Gouray of the Lexington Institute, a former Pentagon official, says Gates is sailing to confirmation for the simple reason that he represents change.
Gates is a better diplomat. He is less confrontational. He doesn't come in with the same negative attitude towards Congress that Secretary Rumsfeld had from the get-go. And he's more willing to be conciliatory.
CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss begins our coverage.
The unanimous vote followed a day of testimony in which Gates impressed Democrats like Carl Levin of Michigan with his blunt talk and clear message that Iraq policy must change.
The tone that he set this morning was one of openness, independence, directness.
Especially in answering one of the first questions Levin asked.
Do you believe that we are currently winning in Iraq?
No, sir.
Gates said there had been lots of mistakes made in Iraq and listed them and said the president wouldn't have chosen him if he didn't want to change and wouldn't listen to his advice. But that doesn't mean he'll take it.
There is still only one president of the United States, and he will make the final decision.
Gates wouldn't say if he favors more troops in Iraq or a pullout or something in between, but said everything's on the table. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. At first, Robert Gates said, no, sir, when a senator asked if the U.S. is winning in Iraq. He later said the U.S. is neither winning nor losing at this point. Those answers are in stark contrast to President Bush's response the last time he was asked.
Absolutely, we're winning.
That was on October 25th. Asked how Mr. Bush would answer today, spokesman Tony Snow wouldn't speculate. And he said the broader answer from Gates is consistent with the president's view that progress is being made in Iraq. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Mr. Bush had lunch today with former Secretary of State James Baker, who briefed him on the Iraq Study Group's recommendations. The report comes out tomorrow. Now this.
I am Dr. Jen, and I'm taking your love life calls. And here's Kevin. Go ahead.
Jen, what's the easiest way to get to 79 Williams Ave?
Follow your heart?
For the easiest route to any address, you want to ask TomTom, not JenJen.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
I've got a cough that won't quit.
That's why Robitussin DM is my Robitussin.
My chest is all congested, so Robitussin Chest Congestion is my Robitussin.
My cold came with a cough, and my head is stuffed up too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
A troubling development in the search for James Kim, the San Francisco man who got stranded with his family in the snowy coast range of southern Oregon.
We did locate a pair of pants, and the family has confirmed that the pants are similar to a pair of pants that Mr. Kim had.
State Police Lieutenant Doug Ladd says it's good news in the sense that they're on Kim's trail, but his fate remains a mystery. Kim hasn't been seen since he left his wife and two children Saturday to get help. They were rescued yesterday from their snowbound car and released from the hospital today. The latest E. coli outbreak now includes at least four people in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, and health officials say three of them had eaten at Taco Bell. Investigators are following the trail of infections that started in the New York suburbs, trying to trace the source. More than 50 people in New Jersey and on Long Island were sickened, most after eating at Taco Bell last month. Nine restaurants were closed to be disinfected. The New York City Board of Health is unanimous. It's voted to require all restaurants to stop cooking with trans fats, starting with frying oil, next July. Officials say it's a matter of public health, but for the restaurant industry, Mark Erickson at the Culinary Institute of America says it's a matter of economics.
This is going to be a challenge for restaurant owners because it'll require them to do a tremendous amount of work to reformulate some of their recipes, look for alternative ingredients, and they have no choice but to pass that cost on to the consumer.
The National Restaurant Association says trans fat shouldn't be banned because it is a legal substance, and the association says it's considering a legal challenge to the city's ban. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
After 4 o'clock, welcome to Hour 2 of the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And remember, you can email me, enid@kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. You can always call, and it's always toll-free, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. And let me start with tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be joined by Daniel Golden, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter for The Wall Street Journal. His new book, The Price of Admission, How America's Ruling Class Buys Its Way into Elite Colleges and Who Gets Left Outside the Gates. Thursday, we're going to be joined by Bonnie Wolf, talking with my mouth full, crab cakes, bundt cakes, and other kitchen stories. She's a wonderful food commentator, and she joins us at 4 o'clock on Thursday. And joining us right now is an old friend and colleague, Brian Copeland, his new book, Not a Genuine Black Man. If you're not familiar with Brian's work, you ought to be. He is an award-winning writer, stand-up comedian, he is an actor, and he is a talk host on a San Francisco talk station where he and I both used to work. Well, he's still there. I'm not, at KGO. Brian, thank you for joining us today.
You know, it's a pleasure, and I was thinking how great this business is. I heard your network news at the top, and people get sick eating at Taco Bell, and it makes national news. What are the odds of that, first of all? What are the odds? Somebody getting sick eating at Taco Bell. Who'd have thought that would ever happen in America?
What a surprise. Talk to me about this book. It is the basis for your the longest-running one-man show in San Francisco, solo show in San Francisco history. Talk to me about Not a Genuine Black Man, a memoir.
Well, the book, the memoir is based on the show. The show ran for 27 months in San Francisco. Then I took it off-Broadway this past summer into L.A., and I just finished another two-and-a-half-month run in San Francisco, and it just really kind of took off. It was supposed to run for 6 weeks, and it just kind of tapped into something in people. I'm just really, you know, flattered and surprised and grateful that it's done what it's done. Where the title of the book, well, let me back up. I should just tell you the story. I was at a point a couple of years ago when I had decided that I wanted to write a one-man show, but I had no idea how to start or exactly what I should write about. So I had Carl Reiner on my program. Carl Reiner is one of my comedy writing idols on my program in San Francisco. And during a commercial break, I asked for some advice. I said, Carl, you know, I want to do a show. What should I write about? How do I get started? And Carl said, you know, when I was in your position, this is like 40 years ago, he said, when Sid Caesar's show got canceled, I was looking for an idea for something. And I got the advice to find the piece of ground that you alone stand on and write from there. So he said, I thought to myself, what's my piece of ground? Well, I'm a married comedy writer. I live in New Rochelle with my wife and kid, and I write for a variety show in New York. And that became the Dick Van Dyke Show. So he said to me, you've got to find your piece of ground. So as luck and the gods would have it, I got one of the, you know, periodic coop letters that we get in talk radio. I'm sure you never get them up there, I'm sure.
No, never.
I get the weird ones, the ransom note ones, where they, like, cut the letters out of the paper and paste them in.
You get those?
Oh, I get those, sure.
My first piece of mail, and I was so thrilled to get it, was about 10 pages of incoherent scribblings. What you could make out was mostly anti-Semitic, unsigned on cheap paper, and that was my first fan letter.
And see, they're always unsigned.
Always unsigned. No return address.
Never, ever. Uh-huh. And the one that I got, this particular one, said, as an African-American, I am disgusted every time I hear your voice because you are not a genuine black man. So I thought about that, and I thought, you know, I've gotten this nonsense for a lot of my adult life that I'm not really black, whatever it is that means. Is it because I speak? Is it because the way I speak? Is it because of my interests? Is it, you know, why do people make that charge? So I thought, okay, this is my piece of ground. So I thought, okay, now why, what is one of the reasons I might get this nonsense thrown at me? And I thought, well, it's because of my upbringing, in part. because I grew up in the city of San Leandro, California, which borders Oakland to the south, in the 1970s, at a time when San Leandro was 99.99% white and considered by fair housing advocates to be one of the most racist suburbs in America. And so I put those two things together and wrote the story. And what it is it's a story of what it is like to be an outsider, what it's like to be the only one of your kind, because I grew up as the only black face in the room in a city that was really racist at the time that didn't want me here.
Brian, why did your family want to do that?
I'm not sure how much it was my mother, my grandmother, my little sisters, and myself. And I am not sure how much my mother knew about the city once, you know, when she decided to move here. It became evident early on. You know, we would walk down the street and I grew up with people yelling the N-word out of the car window at me, grown-ups. I tell a story in the play and in the book about being 8 years old and my first, you know, day after we had unpacked. I'm walking down the street looking for the park, and a carload of teenagers, you know, drives up and they yell racist epithets at me and they chase me, and I run to a policeman who I think is going to save me, and he frisks me and throws me in the back of the police car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so what's interesting, I started out by writing down all the stories that I could remember. And then I went to the library to do research, and I had no idea. I just wanted to kind of look at, like, you know, just to kind of see what was going on in town at the time. The story takes place in 1972. And I was shocked to find out that San Leandro had this national reputation, that the CBS had done a nationally aired documentary called The Suburban Wall on how there was collusion between the homeowners associations and the city council and the realtors to keep black people out of this city. Now, Oakland next door was half black. And at the San Leandro-Oakland border was what was known as the invisible wall. Black people knew not to cross, because if they crossed that line, there would be trouble. Police would sit there. There was a cop whose job it was to sit there at the city limits. And if you were black, they would follow you until they found a pretext to stop you. Even little kids on bikes. I've heard stories from, you know, grown men telling me about being 6, 7, 8, 9 years old and riding their bikes across into the city limits. And there's a cop.
What could a cop arrest you for when you're 6 or 7 or 8 driving your little tricycle, your bike or your tricycle?
It wasn't about arresting it. It was about intimidation.
Intimidation.
It was about, you know, if you're 7 years old and a policeman comes up and, you know,
asks it's very scary. It's not.
So that became the basis of the show. And as I said, it was supposed to run for 6 weeks, and it just kind of exploded. And what the thing is that people tap into with the show is that what's interesting is that I find that every culture has this kind of nonsense. There are Asians who told me that their Asian American friends who consider them too Eurocentric, and consider them to be folks who are trying to deny their Asian heritage, call them bananas, yellow on the outside, white on the inside.
Well,
Latinos have told me that they get the same grief, and they're called coconuts. Mike Wallace, I had lunch with Mike Wallace at an author event about a year ago, and Mike Wallace laughed and told me that the grief he gets is that Jews will call him a self-hating Jew because he reports in an unbiased fashion on the Middle East. So it's something that goes, gay people, there are gay men who told me that they get grief from other gay men because they dress too conservatively, because they're not in the gay pride parades yelling and screaming and you know, doing what it is.
Dressing up like a sister of perpetual indulgence.
Yeah.
All right, so what is the lesson here? There are always factions that are going to be criticized in any group and by other people within the group. And what was your lesson to learn? If I were to ask you now, having grown up in a 99.99% white suburb and getting grief and feeling like an outsider and then getting grief from people in the black community who believe you're not a genuine black man, the title of Brian Copeland's new book, what would you say that was the upside of that kind of upbringing?
Well, I would say the upside is that it taught me to be a survivor, among other things, you know, because of all of the trauma, you know, that I had to go through, you know, growing up and being a man without a country, quite frankly. You know, too white for the black kids, too black for the white kids. But and again, I hate to use the word message because it wasn't a point. I was never trying to convey a message. I'm just telling a story. But I guess the point of the whole thing is that black people the same as Asian people or Jewish people or Latinos or anybody else, are not a monolith. There is, you know, if you defy stereotype, if you refuse to be a part of the stereotype, that doesn't make you any less authentically a member of your race than anybody else. That's number one. And number two is you just have to be true to yourself.
You do, and I think that's one of the best lessons. I grew up on a farm, and there were it was a predominantly Protestant little town. And so we really felt you really do feel like an outsider. But I think, you know, there's a downside to it, but I like the upside that you were describing. Let me ask you about, since you are also a stand-up comic, talk to me about Kramer's meltdown, and now Andy Dick has done the same thing. You have any thoughts about that?
Well, actually, a couple of things. First of all, I should mention, too, that the book and the play are just as funny as they are heavy. It's a roller coaster ride. It's really, really funny, and then it gets really heavy. And I find a lot of humor in the things that have gone on, but as I said, it's a lot of real, you know, you go from laughing to crying to laughing and crying. So
are you going to resurrect the play again in San Francisco, or is that it for now?
I just closed it, actually temporarily, because I'm doing a movie in LA right now. It will be back, and I'm going to tour it. Actually, I'd like to take it up to Sacramento. In fact, I'm doing some benefits for Fair Housing because it's a real big Fair Housing story because they tried to evict us. Once the landlord in the apartment complex we moved into found out that his manager had rented to blacks, they tried to evict us by claiming that we had too many people. And we had six people in a three-bedroom apartment, and they claimed that was too many.
Wow.
That was a common trick that they would use, and so my mother sued.
And was she successful?
I don't want to give it away.
Okay. All right. Don't give it away. But when
back to your question about Michael Richards, the thing that bothers me about this Michael Richards thing is that people are in some way trying to equate what he did to comedy, saying, well, you know, comedians do this all the time, and black comedians this and comedians that. This has nothing to do with comedy. The analogy that I use is, imagine that you went to a poetry reading, and you have a guy who's a poet who's standing at the podium, and he's reading a poem that he's written. And then somebody in the audience says something, so he puts the poem down and begins to berate the person in the audience. You wouldn't say, boy, the poems these guys are writing these days, would you? Because it's two separate things. What he's berating the person in the audience has nothing to do with the poetry. And that's what Michael Richards did. He snapped and started cussing out members of the audience.
That's right.
It had nothing to do with comedy. And that's what, as a comic, bothers me, is that people say, well, you know, the language that the comedians use, this has nothing to do with comedy. This is a guy who snapped and said what it was that he probably says behind closed doors.
Yes, and he says he's not a racist.
Please.
Yeah, please is right.
Please.
And you know who else tried it? Andy Dick just tried it, and it fell flat. He tried it at some comedy club. Maybe he was trying to piggyback off of what Kramer did. It got no laughs, and he moved on. And maybe he was trying to jumpstart his own career. Maybe he thought even the negative publicity would be helpful. I don't know. I mean, you as a stand-up comic could maybe assess it better than I can.
Well, I don't know. I have not heard about Andy Dick doing this. I'll have to take a look at that.
Yeah, take a look at that. And also, tell me about the film that you're working on.
Well, there's a couple of things. We are developing the book and the play into a film. I'm working on the screenplay for that with Rob Reiner right now. And he, while we're doing that, he cast me in his new film, The Bucket List, which stars Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson.
Wow!
And it's a great film. I play Morgan Freeman's son, and it's about two guys with terminal cancer. One wealthy, Jack Nicholson. One blue collar, Morgan Freeman. And Morgan Freeman is very he's very bright and self-educated, and he's in his bed in the cancer ward, and he's making this list. It's a philosophy exercise, and it's a list of all the things that he'd like to do before he kicks the bucket. It's just kind of a way of coming to terms with dying. And Nicholson's character says, you know what, I'm rich. We can do these things. So they escape from the cancer ward, and they run around the world to the Great Wall of China, and they race fastback Mustangs, and they jump out of airplanes. And they do. It's a wonderful story, and it's about how you should live your life, and how differently you would live your life if you knew that you had a finite amount of time left. Because we all have these someday. Someday I'm going to do this. Someday I'm going to do that. And a lot of times, some day doesn't come.
Well, we're all on deadline. But in California, nobody dies unless they smoke or eat red meat. You know, when you
vote Republican,
or vote for you, yes, that's right. And then you're among the walking. Then you're dead man walking. You don't even know it. Talk to me about your talk show a little bit. Even though you're not really the competition because you're in San Francisco and we're here. But you have done some amazing. Somebody called you, and I was trying to think who it was, and I can't. Somebody on your air called you the most creative voice on KGO, and I forget now who it was. Because yeah, well, it's and possibly even has the added virtue of being true. Where you take on, I remember you doing this, where you take on, you become for a temporary amount of time only, a right-wing conservative.
So I haven't done that in years.
But talk to me about that. I remember when you used to do that, and you did it very well.
What the shtick was is that I would pretend like I hit my head and then do an hour where I just took all the right-wing positions and you know, did exactly what these hate talkers do, where you don't have to back anything up with facts, or you twist and distort things, and you just continue with the same mantra about smaller government, and that everybody in the world who's not a white man needs to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Never mind, you don't have to have any boots; you just have to have boots. You know, I would just parrot the line that they do, and it was funny because people who hadn't heard me before, who turned it on and would hear this. You know, they wouldn't notice anything different than listening to Limbaugh or any of these other, you know, Michael Savage or any of these other kooks. So anyway, it's something I haven't done in years. It was something I had a lot of fun with because it's a real good way of exposing them. And I'll tell you what's funny is somebody told me, or I had a radio syndicator tell me, you know what, if you'll just go to the right like that for real,
you could get a job tomorrow.
I could make you millions of dollars.
I'm sure that's true.
And I said, I go, but I don't believe that stuff. They go, it doesn't matter. None of these people believe that stuff.
That's true. There are a lot of people who are doing right-wing talk radio who either started out as liberals or who really secretly are, but it was a gig. And I have to tell you, there is a talk host, and you may know who that person is, who used to go on the air to talk about how a heart-rending story about how her mother committed suicide, and then the mother shows up in the studio a month later.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you off the air, but I'm not going to tell you. I won't tell you on the air. But so you have a lot of that. And, you know, Savage started out as a liberal, and who knows what his real sympathies are. We really don't know. But there are a lot of talk hosts who did.
I've never heard the word Michael Savage and sympathies used in the same sentence before. This is different.
I think that you need to write a thank you note to the city, in the 1970s, the then 99.99% lily white city of San Leandro,
because you would not have gotten
the book, you would not have gotten the one man play. It caused you to develop muscles you would not have had to develop. It might not have been pleasant when you were growing up. It might have made you feel very much like an outsider, but it gave you something that you would not have had otherwise.
Well, I should tell you two things. First of all, today, San Leandro, according to the 2000 census, is one of the most diverse cities in the state of California. It's one of the most neighborhood diverse cities in the entire state of California. So it's really, there's really been a demographic shift. And secondly, I still live here. I'm talking to you from San Leandro. Right.
You're
now.
Kidding.
No.
You didn't?
No, I've been here since I was eight years old. And it's a wonderful place to live. And one of the reasons is that I'm still here is because of how the city is changed. The other reason is because my mother fought too damn hard for us to be here.
And it is your home. Brian Copeland, thank you so much for joining us today. Brian Copeland is my guest. His new book, Not a Genuine Black Man, and I'll tell you off the air who that person is.
Okay.
I'm going to put you on hold. Thank you for joining us, and lots of congratulations on what sounds like a really marvelous project that you have. When is your film released?
Well, we don't start shooting until January.
Oh.
It'll be sometime later next year. Oh, I should mention, too, if you go to my website at briancopeland.com, I have that documentary, the CBS documentary that they aired in 71 on the city of San Leandro up, and it'll blow your mind. You won't think you're looking at Northern California. You'll think you're looking at something from you know, Jim. I found the only surviving copy of it, and it's up. If you need high-speed internet.
Is the city of San Leandro thinking of making you its cultural ambassador? Oh.
Actually, they were the two. was wonderful. Gave us a proclamation. My grandmother, my mother, and I.
Oh, how wonderful! See, you live long enough, and it comes around. Brian Copeland, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to put you on hold. The book is Not a Genuine Black Man. I'm Ina Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Slow. We've got South Bend 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road and all the way to Elk Grove Boulevard. Stuff is happening on South Bend 99. South Bend Cap City Freeway at N Street. And my last update was that it is stopped over there. I guess there's an accident and stuff on the highways. Someone's got a better a description. Give me a call, 349-1320. East Bidwell Street at westbound 50 is a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, I'm Scott.
And I'm
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Just got smarter.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not
Romney
the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Well, it's Christmas time in Tinseltown again. Well, it seems so long. Oh, Saint Nick, where have you been? With your Christmas lights, those tourist bites, eggnog and rum. I sent a Christmas card to the boulevard to check the bomb. But I know that it's no
4:30 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's our run-up to the holiday, so it's been all holiday music, and I love it. And there's so much of it that you can do it forever and practically not repeat anything. As I have said earlier, first of all, if you're just joining us, you miss Brian Copeland, and he's wonderful. And his new book, which came out about as a result of... Well, a lot of racial incidents growing up, and as a result of his one-man play, Not a Genuine Black Man, and it's a wonderful book, and he's a wonderful talent, and you heard about all of his projects, and again, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Daniel Golden, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the Wall Street Journal. His book, The Price of Admission, How America's Ruling Class Buys Its Way into Elite Colleges. Well, there's a big surprise. And on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Bonnie Wolfe and the name of her book, and with a foreword by Scott Turow. Remember, Presumed Innocent? Talking with My Mouth Full, Crab Cakes, Bundt Cakes, and Other Kitchen Stories. And she is a commentator, actually on NPR, on all this kind of stuff. So it'll be fun to talk with her as we approach the holiday season. If you're just joining us, I have a new name for the governor, Schwarzenschnorr, or Schnortzy, because he's always got the begging cup out. The guy who said he wasn't going to take special interest money can't wait to knock on the doors of Chevron and PG&E and the biggest corporations in California to squeeze dough out of them for his imperial inauguration and for his ability to fly around in private jets and act like he's a celebrity. So I wonder what your thoughts are about that. The library is turning the page. According to the Sacramento Bee, the county system is looking at the future of books read on computers. And so, you know, whether books will be now more digitized, how the library will take advantage of the electronics available to it. I think libraries are great, and I can't encourage people to go to libraries enough. I don't know if libraries are experiencing, in tough times, whether libraries experience an upsurge in traffic. I hope so, because in tough times you need your libraries, and you need them in good times, too. Because in tough times, if you are looking for a job, things are difficult, you can find all kinds of information in a library. You can find where to send your resumes and companies that you might be interested in and researching them. And if you're interested in health issues, a library is a great place to go. And I know that everybody's sort of forsaking the library because we are all now online, most of us. But if you aren't online, if you don't have a computer at home, or if your computer is in meltdown, you can go to the library, and they have computers there. And if you don't know how to use it, the librarian will instruct you. And if the Patriot Act is becoming onerous, the librarians will march en masse. And they were one of the few, if not the only, courageous group to do anything about challenging the government on some of these issues. And the Patriot Act, there are provisions of the Patriot Act that were so horrible that if the government came looking to the library to find out information about what books you had checked out, and if the librarian notified you, the librarian would be hauled off to the pokey for letting you know that the government had been thumbing through whatever it was that you checked out of the library. And we're also talking about this administration wanting to close down the EPA libraries, starving the budget, but, you know, trying to starve 80%, cut 80% of the EPA library's budget. So none of this information is available. And these are, you know, you have dopes here who are in charge of environmental issues for the government. James Inhofe, when goodbye to him, Barbara Boxer takes over. But he believes that global warming is a hoax, and anybody believes in it is sort of, Hitlerian or something. I mean, the man is crazy. So, but this is what you can expect from this administration. As I pointed out, they appointed somebody to be in charge of women's health issues for Health and Human Services, a man who does not believe in contraception, even for married women, and who believes that if you've had too many sexual partners, if you're a woman, I don't know if he believes this for men, but if you're a woman and you've had too many sexual partners, he believes that your brain's turned to mush, that your brain chemistry is altered. This is true, and that you won't be able to bond with anybody. I want to add to the conversation something that happened here in Sacramento, and I wonder what your thoughts are about it. There was a teenage girl, who drove her boyfriend and a gunman to a string of gas station robberies last year. Her name is Jessica Nicole Holmes. She's a baby-faced 19-year-old. She'd just gone through a trial. Part of what happened here is that one of the gunmen that she ferried around to these robberies murdered somebody in the commission of the robbery, and she was driving the car. She was never inside. She didn't commit the robbery, but I suppose you would say, since we've all watched all these movies, she's an accessory to the, you know, she's an accessory here, and not a purse either. The verdict is in. She has gone to trial. It was reported that she was, you know, kind of, I won't say laughing her way through the trial, but she was chatting with other people and putting her hair into a ribbon. And even her attorney said she's not all that mature, and she didn't realize, apparently, the gravity of what was ahead of her and what the trial. She never thought for a minute that anybody would find her guilty, but the verdict is in. And so this girl, who chauffeured around her friends in a series of gas station robberies, has now been has been convicted. She has been convicted of first-degree murder in the killing of a clerk, even though she did not pull the trigger. She just drove her boyfriend and the gunman around to these various robberies, and she is facing life in prison without possibility of parole. She's about 19 years old. The paper describes her as a baby-faced 19-year-old, now facing life in prison without parole for the killing of a gas station clerk who was Prem Krishna Chetty, 49, at a Shell station on Greenback Lane and Auburn Boulevard on July 7, 2005. She was also convicted of multiple counts of robbery and attempted robbery. A separate jury found the man accused of shooting Chetty, Joseph Terrell Johnson, 20, guilty of first-degree murder and robbery charges on Friday. He also faces life without possibility of parole. Johnson was caught on a security video demanding money and then gunning down Chetty point-blank and recorded in a phone call from jail telling a cousin that he had killed a man. Police tracked down Johnson in part through a bottle of chocolate milk he had taken from the Shell station and left at a girlfriend's house. The baby-faced 19-year-old girl, Jessica Nicole Holmes, waited in her car during the robberies, including the robbery in which Chetty was killed, said her lawyer at trial. But the prosecutor said that jurors could find Jessica Holmes, the 19-year-old baby-faced girl, guilty of murder as long as she knew that Johnson was planning to forcibly take money from the Shell station. They just had to be convinced she knew that Johnson was going to rob the place. And if he could convince the jurors that she knew that the guy she was ferrying around was going to rob the place, she could also be convicted. Evidence showed that she had already driven her friends to seven other gas station robberies, including one in Roseville, where Johnson fired warning shots at a cashier. I think that was what gave her a very tough battle to convince the jury, said the prosecutor. Holmes told police she acted as a kind of taxi service for her friends who did not have cars. She said she was unaware the robberies would take place when she gave Johnson and her boyfriend, Corey Lee Schroeder, 20, rides around northeast area of Sacramento County. At one point, she was videotaped embracing Schroeder as the two went with Johnson to buy bullets for his gun at a Big Five store. In court, the young woman appeared almost unaware of the peril she faced, chatting with others, smiling, putting her hair into a ribbon, Her attorney said that she was exactly as she appeared at court. She's a baby, he said. I can say this for certain. She had no criminal motive at all. She was just doing what she thought was the right thing in helping her friends. Her attorney says that she, Holmes, thought that the jurors would acquit her and that she broke down in tears after the verdicts were read. She was shocked. She was emotional. She was just stunned, said her attorney. In her mind, like in mine, she believed that the right decision would be reached as far as her fate. The sentencing is scheduled for January 19. And her boyfriend, whom prosecutors accuse of casing the gas station, faces a separate trial December the 13th. Should she be in prison for the rest of her life? Now, she ferried these guys around. According to the law, as long as she knew a robbery was going to be committed, she could be convicted, and she was. But the sheep, she's 19 years old. She now faces the possibility of prison without parole. Prison for the rest of her life. She didn't shoot anybody. She didn't commit a robbery. But she did ferry the shooter and the boyfriend around in her car. Is that the appropriate sentence? 349-1320. 866-626-1320. She didn't pull the trigger. She didn't shoot anybody. She didn't pull the trigger. She didn't commit a robbery. But she did help the other two do what they did, and somebody is dead as a result. Is this the appropriate penalty? Prison for the rest of your life with no parole. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Did the judge have it right? Did the jury have it right? I mean, the sentencing hasn't taken place. But did the jury have it right? Or what would you say if you were, in your wisdom, what would your sentence be for this 19-year-old who seems completely oblivious to what, I mean, she was oblivious in court, apparently. 349-1320, I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Lots of traffic going on this Tuesday. Watt Avenue just south of Silverfin. It looks like we have a two-car crash. East Bidwell at westbound 50. There's a two-car crash over there. Greenback Lane just west of Fair Oaks Boulevard. First of all, the traffic is incredibly thick. Two-car crash. Flooring Road at Excelsior Road, same thing, although caused by a hit and run. There are no injuries there, but emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. Power Inn Road at Meadow Haven Drive. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The people have spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Guys, do you...
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the food. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me, internet. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
A little, miss a lot.
Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Oh, the weather outside was whitening, till the dog did something frightening. He's got no other place to go. Yellowstone, Yellowstone, Yellowstone.
He'll be frolicking round in the storm.
He'll be
locking
our yard with pride. You can tell by the steam that it's warm when the snow begins.
Oh my goodness, our 444 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. The lines are full. They'll open up. And the question I'm asking is that there is a murder verdict for a teen driver. She didn't pull the trigger. She didn't kill anybody. She didn't commit the robbery. But she drove those around who did. And she now faces life in prison without parole. Is that the appropriate sentence? Tanya in West Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Tanya.
Hi. Hi, Enid. I fully think that she is received the correct sentence. If you are going to surround yourself with people who are going to commit acts of violence and break the law, you deserve to be punished as well.
Okay. So
and the fact that it keeps being stressed that she's a baby face, who cares what she looks like? She's a 19-year-old female. She needs to take responsibility for what she did, and she needs to be prosecuted for it.
Okay, Tanya, thank you very much. 349-1320, that opens up one line. Derek in Auburn. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Derek.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I'm a first-time caller and listener.
Well, we're delighted. Thank you for joining us.
I'm just on my little crank radio here.
Okay. All right.
I wanted to say that she should be subject to a lie detector test, don't you think?
Why?
Well, it's kind of unclear, you know.
What do you mean it's unclear? She drove the car, drove around two friends who committed robberies, and one friend shot somebody dead. So the question is the punishment, and she's been convicted now and faces life in prison without parole, is that the appropriate punishment, yes or no?
No, it's not.
Why?
Because it's unclear if she's telling the truth or not.
Well, okay, Derek, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Penny and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Penny.
Hello.
Hi, Penny, welcome.
Hi.
What's your theory what's your feeling about this? Is this the right punishment for this 19-year-old girl, yes or no?
No, absolutely no. We cannot afford society to incarcerate people for that length of time for that participation.
Oh, so you're looking at it as a financial, from a financial point of view.
Yes.
Okay.
Totally.
What would you, all right, if you were the judge, I mean, she faces something as severe as imprisoned without possibility of parole, but I'm assuming the judge has some leeway here and what he decide, what the sentencing will be, but it can be as severe as that. If you were the judge in this case, now what it hinged on is whether she knew the people she was ferrying around were going to commit a robbery, and apparently she did know. So the question is, what is the appropriate punishment?
I would probably go with the minimum, because I don't think it mattered whether she participated or not. The crime was going to be committed.
But they couldn't have gotten there if she didn't drive them. They didn't have a car.
Somebody else could have gotten them there. I don't think that her participation
was critical. Well, you could argue that, though. I don't know if I would agree with that. All right, but then let me ask you. You're Judge Penny here instead of Judge Judy. What's the appropriate punishment? Give me a length of time. What is the appropriate punishment? In prison and for how long?
Maybe 5 years.
5 years. Okay, thanks, Penny. 349-1320, 866-620-6-1320. Andrew in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Enid, how are you doing today?
Doing well.
Yeah, I think what it should be is a couple calls ago,
brought up one point I wanted to say. This girl's 19 years old.
Right.
She's an adult. Now, unless she's got something going, you know, feeble-minded, you know, or something like that, you know, but she's an adult. A lot of people are losing sight of the fact adults are responsible for their actions.
Well, it happened more than a year ago, in July of 2007. So presumably she was 18, maybe she was 17, becoming 18, maybe she had just turned 18. But go ahead.
Well, that said...
I mean, 2005. I'm sorry, 2005.
Right, but all that said is, I will agree that she should not be punished as severely as the ones who actually did pull the trigger. However, she does deserve punishment. So if, for example, the trigger puller gets life without, she should get life with. In other words, one step below whatever the one who actually pulled the trigger gets. Because
all right, so how many? They're both looking at life without possibility of parole. Everybody's looking at that. But right. What if you were the judge, you're Judge Andrew, what are you going to give her? Give me how many years, and what would you give her?
I would give her life with the possibility of after, say, 15 or 20.
That she would be eligible for parole.
That she would be eligible. Doesn't mean she get it, obviously, but she would be eligible for it.
Ooh.
Because she didn't. She would not. She was not the one who pulled the trigger.
No.
She was there. She was part of it. She did take him around and all that. She owes, or she is responsible for that.
All right. Now, what about the other argument that Penny was making? We don't have the money to put somebody who's not a danger to society behind bars for $50,000 a year. All those years, we could really put somebody who is really a danger. What about that argument?
Again, it comes down to the way that we could argue what laws are applicable and aren't, okay? Bottom line is there was murder involved here. She was involved. However she was involved, she was false, okay, as a chauffeur or what. I will grant her the benefit of she didn't pull the trigger, so she's not going to get as strong a punishment as the one who did pull the trigger, but she is a part of that crime. So yes.
You said, all right, so 15 to 20 years from Andrew. Okay, Andrew, I thank you very much for the call. It opens up a line, 349-1320, 866-620-613-20. We have a 19-year-old. She chauffeured two guys around who were committing robberies, one shot somebody dead, point blank. She has just been convicted of a murder, and she faces the possibility of life with no parole. Life in prison with no parole, is that the appropriate punishment? I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Tuesday edition, lucky Tuesday edition, of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Enid, yes. The answer is absolutely yes. So driving around, speaking of, Auburn Boulevard to Pasadena Avenue. Ooh, we have a two-car crash over there, just slowing things down. Now, my last update is southbound 99 Florin Road, Elk Grove Boulevard, and it looks like Laguna Boulevard. We have 2 and 3 car crashes. The traffic is severely slow going there, Cap City Freeway, on to southbound 99 at 451. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
According to Enid, set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com. You're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right.
The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks into Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, or a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
On the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We're talking about this 19-year-old teenager who ferried around two guys who were casing and robbing gas stations. One of them shot a gas station attendant point blank, killed him, and he is getting the same possibility, you know, in life in prison, the same sentencing as she. Potentially, life in prison without parole. She didn't pull the trigger. She wasn't the shooter. She was an accessory, I think. But the two of them would face the same sentence, and is that an appropriate sentence is my question. Bob in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Bob.
I have an opinion, but basically I'll tell you that it's not an easy answer, and it's not an easy answer because in law there's all the facts. Everything surrounding the crime has to be taken into consideration, and that's the real big issue. But the law says simply if you've been involved in a crime that you are an accomplice, you are responsible for the natural consequences of that crime. Whenever you're robbing somebody, somebody dying is a
comes
like a shoe-in. He's been unanimously endorsed by the Senate Armed Services Committee after a day of confirmation hearings that produced a very candid assessment of the situation he faces.
About to take over as defense secretary in the middle of a war, he says the U.S. is not winning. Bob Gates told senators he will listen to commanders in the field, the Iraq study group, members of Congress, and others in trying to come up with a new plan.
This process is going to proceed with considerable urgency.
Michigan Democrat Carl Levin, who will soon take over as chairman of the Armed Services Committee, told Gates he has his work cut out for him.
The monumental challenge of picking up the pieces from broken policies and mistaken priorities in the past few years.
The Senate is expected to confirm Gates by week's end. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Iraq Study Group issues its report tomorrow. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller is at the White House.
At lunch with former Secretary of State James Baker, President Bush got a preview of the Iraq Study Group recommendations. Spokesman Tony Snow says President Bush will read and study them, but we shouldn't have unrealistic expectations about them.
I think anybody who expects, as Bob Gates said today, a magic bullet out of the Hamilton-Baker Commission is probably placing an unfair burden on them.
All 10 members of the panel are due at the White House at 7 in the morning to formally present their report and ideas for making more rapid progress in Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
In the mountains of southern Oregon, search teams believe they're on the trail of James Kim.
Searchers have located a pair of pants. These pants match a description given by the family as a pair that Mr. Kim may have been wearing. And the good news is that they were found in the area that we are, in fact, searching and where we believe that he is.
State Police Lieutenant Doug Ladd says Kim had two pairs of pants when he set out Saturday to get help for his stranded family. His wife and children were rescued yesterday in good condition. Kim also had two lighters, so they think he might have been able to start a fire to keep warm. There's a reassuring report about cell phone use. Danish researchers who studied more than 400,000 people found no evidence that mobile phones increase the risk of cancer. Some people in the study had been using cell phones more than 20 years. Advice for people who've had blocked arteries. A new study concludes man cannot live by stents alone. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula explains.
Researchers, including Duke University's Dr. David Cog, found that heart patients treated with stents who stopped taking the expensive drug commonly known as Plavix face more than double the risk of a heart attack than people who stay on the drug.
Patients who have had a drug-eluting stent will need to take Plavix or clopidogrel for at least 12 months as a minimum, and probably longer.
More than 600,000 Americans receive artery stents each year. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
The Dow up 47 points today. The Nasdaq gained 3. This is CBS News.
Today's guest stylist is Laura. She's going to Kohl's Half Price Sale, which is this Wednesday only. Laura, tell us what to look for.
I'm in love with these furry knits. Check out the sweaters in super flattering colors, then head straight over to hats with matching scarves and mittens. Awesome gift, but you'll want a set too. This is the season to add texture everywhere, even to your sofa. Wait till you feel these super plush throw pillows.
You'll want to go all out at Kohl's Half Price Sale this Wednesday only, from 7 a.m. to midnight. Kohl's, expect great things.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Maybe it's true that the cold kills germs. For the fourth year in a row, Minnesota beats all other states in terms of health. But it's not just the weather, as WCCO Radio's Steve Murphy explains.
The United Health Foundation uses 18 measurements, and Dr. Arkel Giorgio says it's a combination of policy and personal health that put Minnesota on top once again.
It's hitting on all cylinders that really makes a population healthy. It's how we behave as individuals, the lower rate of smoking, rates of obesity, how we take care of ourselves as people.
Minnesota is followed by Vermont, New Hampshire, and Hawaii as the healthiest states. The least healthy state on the list, Louisiana. Steve Murphy, CBS News, Minneapolis.
Former Senator John Edwards, the Democratic vice presidential candidate 2 years ago, is widely expected to run for president in 2008. He hasn't declared yet, but Edwards fueled speculation today when he hired former Congressman David Bonnier to run his campaign.
Parties.
On ice, everywhere we go.
minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 3 of Enid Live, the Lucky Tuesday edition. I am yours until 7 o'clock, as I am 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays, right here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. If you're just joining us, you've missed Brian Copeland. But tomorrow we will be joined. My guest will be Daniel Golden, Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the Wall Street Journal. Sorry. New book, The Price of Admission, How America's Ruling Class Buys Its Way into Elite Colleges, in case you were wondering what the drill is. Now you're going to find out for sure. And Thursday, we're going to be talking with Bonnie Wolfe. She's a commentator on food and other issues in her new book, Talking With My Mouth Full, Crab Cakes, Bundt Cakes, and Other Kitchen Stories. And she talks in a wonderful way about food, and so I thought it'd be fun to have her on and talk to her as well. So that's what's coming up on Enid Live. And what's coming up on Enid Live is a lot of conversation. You can join it. Costs you nothing to do it. If you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. And you can email me, enid@kctc.com. We've been talking about many, many things, and the thing that we have been talking about, and the lines have been full about it, and I thought for those of you who haven't been heard on the issue, we would continue to discuss it for a little bit longer, and that is, you've got a teenage girl described as baby-faced and kind of oblivious, because during the trial, it is... reporter here of the Bee, in the Bee, says, you know, it almost seemed as though she wasn't realizing the gravity of what was ahead of her. But she ferried a couple of friends around, and what the friends were doing were, the friends were casing gas stations and robbing them. And one of them killed a gas station attendant point blank, killed a man point blank with his gun. And he and the 19-year-old girl who did not pull a trigger, the 19-year-old girl only ferried her friends around, to one of whom did pull the trigger, are facing the same sentence, which is life in prison without parole. When the 19-year-old heard the verdict, she was shocked. She was emotional, the paper says. She was just stunned. In her mind, her attorney says, like mine, she believed that the right decision would be reached as far as her fate. Is that the appropriate decision? As I said, she faces the same penalty as the guy who was the shooter. But she didn't shoot. Now, Bob just called us. He's a criminal defense attorney. He feels that she was an accomplice. As an accomplice, she made it happen. The two guys did not have cars, so she was the taxi service. Now, somebody else called in to say, well, if she didn't drive him around, somebody else would have driven him around. So they were going to do it anyway. Is that a good argument? Somebody else called in to say, hey, I don't want to spend $50,000 a year to incarcerate somebody who is really not a danger to the rest of us. Is that a good argument? If you were the judge, if you were Judge Judy, what would be the appropriate punishment? And the sentencing is to take place on January the 19th. So what is the appropriate sentencing? She could face life in prison without parole. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We have a line or two open right now, but probably not for long. Rebecca, calling from Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I am good.
Great. I love your show.
Thank you.
Just a couple of 3 points here. One, do the crime, you do the time. But as always, you seem to hit right on the heart of the matter. And I think the real question here is, what was exactly her crime? We know what she didn't do, but what did she do other than drive?
Well, she drove. All right, go ahead. Where will you take this?
Well, where I would take this is, we need to have laws that are on the books for cases just like this. If we knew, like, for example, if I knew if I drove somebody around and they pulled a gun out and shot somebody, that I might as well get out and shoot them too, what my sentence would be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. I think that would stop people. But I think because of our judicial system and the way the laws are written and the fact that we all know of cases where horrific acts were committed. People were killed. Some people walk. Some people get 5 years max, like in the case of the officer who ran down the little boy under the influence of alcohol. I mean, I think a lot of times people commit crimes because it's like our judicial system is like a cauldron of what ifs.
Well, it's what ifs. It's if you've got a great criminal defense attorney, you're going to do better than if you've got somebody who sleeps through your trial. And on this case, it seemed to turn on whether or not she was aware that what her two passengers were going to be doing. And since she went to buy bullets for the gun of one of them, apparently the jury was convinced that she knew what they were up to. And that's what the case turned on. And as long as she knew what they were up to, they're saying she's just as good. And our criminal defense attorney who just called us, Bob, said that if the shooter in the crime had himself been shot to death, she'd be charged with two murders, not just one. She'd be as guilty as if she shot both of them. So not just one person, but two.
I know, and that's just so ridiculous.
But I want to challenge your thinking that if you know that you're just the driver, that you're going to get into the soup as much as the shooter. The death penalty is no deterrent because, first of all, people are not rational. They think, oh, well, you know, I could be killed if I do this. I'm not going to do it. People are high 80% of the time. Most crimes are committed when people are high on something. And people are not rational. If they're angry, if they're not thinking straight, they're not thinking that they're ever going to get caught.
Exactly. But then I look at, because of my age group, I think back to Patty Hearst, and she had she had old money cushioning her, so she was able to get off on brainwashing, and she
right.
went to a federal country club. What I'm saying is, darn it, if you do a crime, it should be on the book. This is what you're going to get. I don't care how much money your mom has or your dad or your grandfather in Patty Hearst's case. It doesn't matter. But she was shown in Hibernia Bank with guns. I mean, she took part in the bank robberies. And she did not get tried on the same basis as her so-called captors, because remember, she was kidnapped.
That's right. That's right. And you're right about the brainwashing. Okay, so you think the punishment is appropriate. Is that what you're saying, Rebecca?
The punishment is inappropriate. She should definitely be punished for her part.
But what is the correct punishment then? You're saying it's inappropriate?
That's the problem. That's the problem. Because
all right, what is the correct punishment? Tell me quick, because we have a ton of people who want to talk about this.
You can pick the correct punishment between what happened to Patty Hearst and what's happening to her. Maybe it's somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle. Okay, Rebecca, I thank you very much for weighing in. 349-1320. Jen and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Enid. Really quick, I think it's ridiculous that this girl would get the same time as somebody that's actually doing the shooting. If we went that far and said to everybody that you're going to get the maximum time, then you're going to start telling everybody to shoot everybody. And then you're going to actually get people to do more crime than they're doing because they already know that they're going to get a lot of time. It is ludicrous. If somebody does the crime, you get them for what they've done, just like the other lady said, and then whatever the other person's done, then you give them the appropriate time and stop trying to blame other people for what somebody else has done.
Thank you for weighing in. I agree with you, actually. 349-1320. I think it's too much. I mean, I can understand, and from a criminal defense point of view, anybody who's an attorney, we have had one criminal defense attorney call in, maybe enlighten us. Now we have a little bit more time to talk about it. We were up against the clock when Bob called us, but I have to say that she's facing the same penalty as the shooter. Now, you can make a case for it, but it seems to me excessive, and I don't want to spend $50,000 a year to put her into the pokey. Well, you know, maybe she's incarcerated in the next 40 years worth of community service or something like that. She'll have to be a daycare provider. Terry. Oh, I'm sorry. Scott in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, I think she deserves it. I mean, she was a getaway driver in...
She was a taxi service.
No, she was the getaway driver in eight robberies. And for her not to know what's going on, she'd have to be a damn fool.
But she didn't pull the trigger.
But she was there committing armed robberies.
She didn't commit the robberies. She just made it possible for them to commit the robberies.
See, she's not the victim.
I'm not saying she's the victim, but I'm asking, what is the appropriate punishment? Is life in prison with no parole the appropriate punishment?
Absolutely, because she was a getaway driver for armed robberies.
Okay.
Eight of them.
All right. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. It opens up a line. Terry in Citrus Heights. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go through my phone book now and all the defense lawyers. I'm going to check for any named Bob, and I'm going to cross him out if I ever need a lawyer in the future. It's kind of like Frist saying that Shrive or something was well and was blinking her eyes.
Oh, Terry Schiavo.
So, I mean, if he's a defense lawyer and he's sitting there saying the girl's guilty and he never even went one day to the trial, this is what we have for defense lawyers.
Well, no. If he's saying that the jury convicted her, he says it's a very complicated process and why they would. But he feels, if I'm interpreting what he said correctly, no. He's saying that the punishment is appropriate.
He felt the punishment was appropriate. He didn't say about the jury. He said he felt the punishment was appropriate for the crime enacted. So there you go. I mean, the defense lawyers are bad, but I know one of those people involved in this thing. The other fellow, I mean, I don't know him. I know of him. I've seen him around and stuff. And
the one who has yet to come to trial, the one who is going to be on trial for casing these gas stations?
Yeah.
Okay. And what can you tell us about him or the situation?
I don't want to say, but I know that these girls, they meet and they utilize anywhere from Vacaville to Truckee or something that want to hang around with them and stuff. They're like young, and the guys are young too. But on the other hand, she didn't know. These guys use them for the car rides and whatever else. She wouldn't necessarily know that's what they're going to go in for.
Well, she went bullet shopping. Wait a minute. She went bullet shopping with one of them so that they could buy bullets for the gun.
To the store.
Yeah.
She waited outside. She didn't know what they got necessarily. The guy says, stop, I want to go in here and get some darts or something.
No, I think they said that she was, as I recall, wait a minute, at one point she was videotaped embracing the boyfriend as the two went with the shooter to buy bullets for his gun at a Big Five store. So she went bullet shopping, and there's video to corroborate it.
They were videoed out in front of the store. But on the other hand, there's no room for retribution here. There's no room for change or change up, you know. I mean, these people that are judging these people and putting them away for so long, they are playing the place of God for the vengeance.
All right, so Terry, if you're Judge Terry, what's the appropriate sentence?
I would say 4 years for her, but on the other hand, there should certainly be some rehab, and she will have time to think about her actions. That's for sure.
Well, we don't do too much rehab in the pokey around here, and that's what we ought to be doing. All right, we're going to leave it there. I thank you for the call. That opens up a line, 349-1320, Joy in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Joy.
Oh, hi. Yes, I want to tell you that I agree. People who are able, old enough to drive a car, they're old enough to have relationships, they're adults. And that if she didn't know what those guys were doing, then that's her problem.
All right, let me play devil's advocate for a moment. What if our last caller was right, Terry was right, and these guys use these girls, and she's a baby face, and they call her kind of, they make it sound like she's a little immature, and they're cool guys, and they use these women as taxi services and who knows what other kind of services, too. You know, that Patty Hearst mounted as a successful brainwashing defense. What about that?
I disagree with the thing on Patty Hearst, I think, and she got off, and that's wrong. But this woman, these children, if they can drive a car and they can involve their bodies in adult activity, they're old enough to have a mind, and they're accountable.
We're going to leave it there, Joy. You can't use that language on the air, though, but we thank you. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Ann in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Enid. You've really shaken up the whole community because I've been trying to call in and the lines have been jammed.
Well,
the topic is hot, girl. The topic is hot.
Well, what if you were Judge Ann, what would you do in a case like this?
Well, excuse me. First of all, somebody had to drive the car. Maybe if she was a better shot, one of the other people would have been driving the car. I mean, she was obviously in on the deal and knew what was going on.
Right.
Somebody had to drive the car, and like I say, if she was a better shot, maybe they would have had her as the shooter. So, and I don't really have the answer, except that I think just about every single thing we do in life is a choice, and I think there should be consequences. I agree
with you, but is life in prison with no parole the appropriate punishment for the choice that she made?
Well, if she were out, I wouldn't want her cruising my neighborhood.
I mean, would you give her 10 years?
No, I think 10 is too short.
Too short?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really have the answer, but I have a question, and it's kind of in the ballpark here.
Yeah.
What happened to Bonnie and Clyde? How did justice serve them, and in which order?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I haven't seen that film in a long time. But we're going to ask Warren Beatty the answer to that question. Good question. Thank you, Ann, for calling. I appreciate it, as always. 349-1320-866-626-1320. John and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. What is the appropriate punishment for this 19-year-old who did not pull the trigger? She wasn't the shooter, but she was the driver.
Well, I think the appropriate punishment is the life in prison without parole. I don't have any sympathy for her. But I think our...
Now, don't forget, she's 19 now. She sounds like an immature 19. And when the crime was committed more than a year ago, she was maybe just 18. I don't know where she is in her 19th year. So you still think she belongs in prison for the rest of her life?
If she was black, dressed all ghetto, then, you know, it wouldn't be on the radio right now. But my point is that the justice system seems kind of broken. Everything, they just pump the sentences up.
Well, wait, are you saying that the justice system is racist or radio is racist and we wouldn't be talking about it if it were a black woman? We're only talking about it if it's a white woman?
Oh definitely.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
80% of, or no, what is it? It's some incredibly high number of the prison population is black. They get tried for more crimes, and they typically do much poorer in sentencing than white people do. And I'm white. I'm not saying this because I'm black or pro-black. I'm pro-equality. So I think everybody should get treated the same. But I think it's ridiculous that we have the length of sentences that we have. Putting someone in jail for life just makes them a drain on society, and they'll never have a chance to return anything to society. Even 20 years is too long.
All right, so what would you do in a case like this? What would be the way for her to pay her debt to society and also give back to society to the extent that you're able when a life is taken? And she facilitated that by driving the shooter.
In a perfect world, we would put her in jail for a certain amount of time until psychologists or psychotherapists could understand her and let us know and let her get out on like a work release or some sort of program in a perfect world. We're not there, so, you know, I don't have the answer. I just know that it's broken. I apologize.
All right, so you're the judge. You don't have a sentence for her.
No, if I was the judge, I would follow the law as it's written, and I would give her the full life without parole.
Oh, you would give her the max. Okay, John, thanks. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Mary in Fair Oaks. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Enid. I was just calling to comment about the Bonnie and Clyde thing. I believe, if I recall correctly, in the movie, they were killed. I don't think they went...
In a hail of bullets. Well, that's right. Well,
yeah, that's
so you're responding. You're responding to Ann's question, what
right.
happened to Bonnie and Clyde? You may be right about that, actually,
coming back.
Right.
You know, I don't even know if the movie was accurate, but that was what came to mind when I heard their voice, their names. I don't know enough about this woman and her situation, this young woman. I came in late to your discussion, so I have no idea what would be...
Well, but did Bonnie and Clyde pull the triggers both, or was one the driver and the other was the shooter and the outside person or the inside person?
I don't know. I'm old. I can't remember that anymore.
Okay. All right. What's the appropriate punishment for this 19-year-old girl?
I, you're going to have to tell me a little bit more because I came in late to the discussion. What did
she drove? They didn't have cars. She was a taxi service for two guys, one of whom shot somebody at point blank range dead. And the two of them are now potentially getting the same sentence, which is life in prison without parole. She didn't shoot anybody, and she committed no robbery, but she did ferry the two around. She taxied the two around, who one of whom cased the gas stations and the places that they were going to rob, and the other one who actually committed the robbery and shot somebody dead.
Should
her sentence be the same as the shooter's sentence, which it may very well be?
Did she have any priors? I mean,
as far as I know, it's not reported that she did. As far as I know, she didn't, but I don't know that for certain. And what it all hinged on is that the evidence showed that she had already driven her friends to seven other gas station robberies, and She told police she acted as a kind of taxi. She said she was unaware that the robberies would take place when she gave her boyfriend and the shooter rides. And what the jury had to feel is that she knew what they were going to be doing, and the jury felt that she knew what they were going to be doing. Hence the conviction.
I believe that she's full of baloney.
Okay, so what's the appropriate punishment?
I would say 10 to 25.
10 to 25. Okay, Mary,
yeah.
Thank you. 349-1320, Kendrick in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kendrick.
How you doing? I kind of agree with Mary there. Was that Mary?
Yeah, it was Mary.
I kind of agree with that. But, you know, life ain't fair. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's fair, but I think that, and the other caller talked about racism. If you do a crime with other criminals, especially me being black, I know if I'm with somebody and they do something, I'm getting the same time they get. I've known that for a long time, and it's unfortunate that it's that way, but that's just the way it is, and it's not fair.
So you think if you, well, you're right, the system isn't fair. So you're saying 10 to 20.
I think 5 to 15. But I have another comment.
Yes.
Because I've been wanting to call you for a while with this. I just wanted to say, you know, we're all in the car with President Bush. You know, they say if you do a drive-by and you shoot somebody, you're going to do the time because you were in the car. As Americans, we're all in the same car as our government. And these same people who are saying that she should do all the time, they're probably the same people who aren't looking at what's going on in the world.
So you're saying Bush is the shooter and we're all looking at life in prison without possibility of parole.
When it all comes down to it, you know, I think I don't know about life in prison, but if there's a higher power, or if we all have to stand for something, or if there's another terrorist attack, we're all part of it, because we're not standing up and saying that this crap is wrong.
All right, Kendrick, I thank you very much. 349-1320, 866-620-61320. I'm Enid Goldstein. We have one line open. You are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, and the question is this the appropriate punishment for a 19-year-old who ferried around somebody who committed robberies and somebody who shot somebody else dead at point-blank range? She didn't pull the trigger, and she didn't commit a robbery, but she was a taxi service. Is it a fair punishment for her to face life in prison without parole, which is exactly the same punishment that the shooter may be facing? I'm Enid Goldstein, and this is Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
So, Enid Goldstein, I just want to tell you that before dawn of May 23rd, 1934, a posse composed of police officers in Louisiana and Texas, they opened fire as they tried to get away, Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right. The police officers...
Didn't cost $50,000 a year to incarcerate them.
You know what? But they were convicted of obviously one of the hugest statewide manhunts in 1934 that the world has ever seen. Robbery, murder, kidnapping, the list is endless. Yeah, Bonnie and Clyde. And to think my brother and I, we used to pretend to be them when we were little. There is nothing like that going on the highways now, though. Thank God. Southbound Cap City Freeway just north of Peachtree. We do have a vehicle on the right-hand side. Southbound 99 from Fruit Ridge Road to Elk Grove Boulevard. It is nice and congested. And 50 going over top of the mountain is the same. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hey, Jessica.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th. At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. Hey, can you hear the sound of the stereo? Let's subliminal on my America.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Live and local. It's no Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Who's to send poor shepherds in fields as they lay? With fields, well, they lay keeping the sheep. On a cold winter's night, the world so deep. No well, no well, no well, no well.
Oh,
Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. I think we have a line open, and the number 349-1320. And what we're talking about is a murder verdict for a teenage girl. She's 19 years old. She ferried around two guys in a car. One was her boyfriend, and one was a shooter. The boyfriend was is accused of casing the places that were robbed, gas stations and so on. And the shooter shot somebody point blank, shot him dead in the commission of a robbery. She did not pull the trigger, and she did not commit a robbery, but she was the taxi service that made the robbery possible. Bob, who called us, is a criminal defense attorney, and he says she's an accomplice and she's just as guilty. The trial seemed to hinge on whether she knew what the two people she was ferrying around, what they were up to, and apparently the jury was convinced that she did know. So she faces the same sentence as the shooter faces, which is life in prison without parole. She's 19 years old. The paper describes her as kind of baby-faced and incognizant, really. Kind of, she could be president. She sounds like Dickie. And then when the verdict was read, she was completely stunned. But during the trial, you know, she was fiddling with her hair and laughing and chatting and never for a second thought that she would be found guilty, and she has been found guilty. So my question is this the appropriate punishment? Mark in and Isaac, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Is this the appropriate punishment for this 19-year-old? Life in prison without parole?
No, I think that she should be charged with armed robbery unless they could somehow prove that the murder was part of the original plan, which I find highly unlikely. But, you know, I doubt that she was driving around not knowing that they were committing robbery, but that should be the part of her plan. Unless she had been in the store and pulled the trigger, then she should be charged with murder, or she is somehow...
Well, wait a minute. Here's what the criminal defense attorney said, that if you know you're driving people around who are committing crimes, the possibility that a murder could happen in the commission of a crime is certainly within the scope of what could occur.
I still think it's a bit excessive. I think the armed robbery charge she certainly should be charged with, but I don't think... I don't think first-degree murder is really...
In prison for the rest of her life? Okay, so what? If you're the judge, if you're Judge Mark, what kind of a sentence are you going to hand down?
Whatever the charge is for armed robbery, I don't know what that would be.
All right, pick a number. How many years in the pokey?
I'm sorry?
Pick a number. How many years in the pokey for her?
I would say, I mean, without knowing very much about the legal system, I would say, you know, like his earlier caller said, 10 to 20.
10 to 20. Okay. Thanks, Mark. 349-1320. Carol in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
What's the appropriate punishment for this 19-year-old girl?
I'm about to agree with the gentleman you just talked to, but I do have a question. Does the judge have a choice in the matter?
My guess is that there must be some choice because there is a sentencing hearing scheduled for January 19.
So
he has to have some latitude, otherwise I would guess, but that's an excellent question.
Yeah, there's nearly always a sentencing hearing, no matter what, whether it's, you know, mandatory or whatever. But if he has a choice, then my choice would be life with the possibility of parole. The Department of Corrections is now the Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections, and hopefully they'll go into the rehab a little bit more than they have.
Wait a minute. It is the Department of Rehabilitation and Correction now, not just corrections?
Yes, ma'am.
So have they done the same thing that the federal government has done, eliminating hunger entirely by calling people food insecure? So now we're saying that we have rehabilitation. Do we actually have rehabilitation?
I don't know if they actually have it yet because I don't work there anymore. But I'd like to see it happen.
I would, too.
I think the recidivism rate is much, much too high, but then most of the people who are in prison are there because of drug and alcohol-related stuff.
So there should be a lot of rehab in prison, and I don't think there's enough of it. There's not very much of it at all, as I understand it.
I agree with you totally. I think back in the day, before they had the mandatory sentences where it's, you know, you have... You're going to get 20 years for this and 20 years for that, and they used to do 15 to life for just about everybody, and then the Board of Prison Terms would look at a person and see if they were trying to rehabilitate themselves, because you and I can't rehabilitate someone. They have to rehabilitate themselves.
Yeah, but it helps if you have some kind of programs in place and you have professionals who can be useful.
Yeah, and back in the day they used to, but when they got rid of the sentencing were, you know, it was 15 to life or whatever, and the Board of Prison Terms was taken out of that particular venue, then...
I think you're talking about indeterminate sentence. I think you're talking about indeterminate sentencing, right?
I am, thank you. I'm having a senior moment.
Well, that's why God invented Post-it, so you write it down, slap it on the door. Thank you, Carol. I appreciate your call. 349-1320, John in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hi, Enid. I want to make a comment on the caller that was just saying that girls should only be convicted for armed robbery and not for the murder. She was an accomplice in it. I mean, how can you convict somebody for having a weapon in an armed robbery, but then not convict them if the weapon is discharged?
Well, she never, as far as we know, she didn't have a weapon, and she never pulled a trigger, but she ferried around the two who were doing the robberies, who were committing the robberies, and one who was the shooter.
Well, yeah, I agree with that, too. She,
all right, so bottom line, John, what's the appropriate punishment for her?
She got the appropriate punishment, I believe.
Okay, thanks very much for weighing in. 349-1320, Janice in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Janice.
Hi. I think I know the earlier caller said that they thought that racism was involved, but actually I think we're a little bit guilty of sexism, because a lot of people are willing to think that a female is easily manipulated by the male criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're more willing to give her leniency for that reason. But I would say 10 years. Normally I would say probably 20 to life, but as young as she is, I think her character is still developing. I don't think it's too late for her.
So you think if you were the judge, you would give her 10 years. Now, the shooter is African American. She appears to be Caucasian, and I don't know what the boyfriend is.
Okay.
They don't show a picture of him, so I don't know. I thank you very much for calling, Janice. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Linda in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. What do you think the appropriate punishment is?
Hello?
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Enid. I think the appropriate punishment should be about 4 years, like that one caller said. Also, people need to think about, they're not thinking, what if it was their daughter? You know, 19, yes, you know, a lot of us make stupid mistakes. However, at 19 years old, you have time to rehabilitate. So what people need to sit down and think about, what if it was their child?
Okay. You are the lowest figure in terms of prison that has come up today. Everybody said, I don't know, maybe somebody said 5 to something, but you're the lowest at 4, Linda. Thanks very much for the call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. What do you think is the appropriate punishment? I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Slow-moving traffic. It looks like we've got South Bend 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road and all the way to Elk Grove Boulevard. We have a two-car crash slowing things down over there and on into Gulf. Southbound Cap City Freeway just north of P Street, about the same thing. Westbound 50, very congested. And just east of Missouri Flats right there, there is a three-car crash stopping things down. That might be what's backing things up under Sacramento. Southbound 99 at Essinger as well, two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Dialing for democracy, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento. Left Channel. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Miss Romney,
what drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world.
This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth. Tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play
perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA Four Diamond Casino Resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
As I was walking down the road, one Christmas morning,
for a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Rudolph! Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never left poor Rudolph joining any reindeer games. But then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you come and guide my sled tonight?
5:47 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. Lines are full. When they open up, I'll give the numbers out again. What we're asking, there's a murder verdict, and she's a teenage girl. She's 19 years old. This is a crime that was committed in July of 2005. Maybe she was 18. Maybe she was still 17. I don't know. But she now faces life in prison without parole because she ferried around two guys. One of them was her boyfriend, and the other was a shooter who killed somebody at Point Blank Range in the commission of a robbery. They went around to gas stations and so on, and she drove them to about 7 or 8 of these little venues. And the question is this the appropriate punishment for somebody who was an accomplice, no question, drove them around when they didn't have a car, so made it possible for them to commit various crimes and to shoot somebody dead at close range, but she did not pull the trigger and she herself did not commit a robbery. Is life in prison without parole an appropriate punishment? Because it is the same punishment that the shooter himself is facing. 349-1320. Oops, I said I wouldn't do it and I did it. Paul and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Paul.
Hey, what's up? Can you hear me?
I can. What do you think the appropriate punishment is for this 19-year-old girl?
So I think she should get the harshest punishment, you dig? Because without no driver, then there's no crime.
So you think she should get the punishment as harsh as the shooter gets? The same thing, life in prison without parole.
Yeah, I think life or possibly death, because she knew what was popping, you know? It ain't like they had a coercer to drive around. She knew that they were driving around to do robberies. Whether somebody died or not, unfortunately they did. They should... Without her driving, the crime doesn't pop off. You do it?
Yeah, I got it. And we're having a hard time hearing you, Paul. It's kind of muddled sound, but I thank you for calling. 349-1320. Jesus and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jesus.
Hello.
Hi. Tell me what you think the appropriate punishment is for the 19-year-old.
Yeah, I got to agree with the last caller. If it was one robbery, you could say, okay, maybe she didn't know. It was several robberies.
Seven.
Seven, to be exact.
Seven or eight, actually.
Okay, and then on top of that, if it was a young Latin or black boy, this man would be facing the death penalty. He committed...
Wait a minute. The shooter is African-American, if I'm looking at the picture, if I'm looking at it right.
Okay.
It looks to me like he's an African-American, and the driver is Caucasian, and I don't know what the boyfriend is because they don't have a picture of him.
Okay, so I think that she's really getting lucky with life because they committed murder in the commission of a felony, which
well,
is a capital punishment, so that's punishment by death.
All right, so you're saying life in prison without parole, even though she didn't pull the trigger and she didn't commit the robbery, is appropriate because you're saying she could have gotten the death penalty.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's like saying you have somebody going to commit a murder and you got to look
at it. Yeah, but I don't know if this is driving somebody around as an accomplice to is a capital crime in and of itself. So we need an attorney here to call us and let us know that. Jesus, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Chris and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I just wanted to chime in a little bit. Basically, I agree with the last couple callers. As a parent of a child that has been in trouble a little bit, and as a long-time confidant of kids in general, I think that when you commit a felony, as she did, and it doesn't really matter what her, you know, if she opened the door or if she drove them or if she loaded the bullets or anything like that, it's all the same.
So you think it's the same thing as if she had pulled the trigger. Now, we had somebody call in who thought, what if it was your child? And she said, the woman who called in said 4 years. That would be the appropriate punishment.
Well, let me tell you this. If a parent has the low standard, you know, I teach my child to live up to the highest standard. And if you make a mistake in life, you pay the punishment for that mistake. And for a parent to say, oh, you know, she's going to be okay, you know, she needs some counseling and all this, you know, that's a cop-out.
Well, I don't know what happened in that family, and I don't know to what extent the family was aware of what she was up to, but I thank you, Chris, for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening. We have one line open. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday. The Internet.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a good truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
With Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Things are going on south on 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road and on down Laguna Boulevard, Sheldon. Let's see, Mack Road and Elk Grove Boulevard. Congested. Couple of car crashes along the way. Westbound Florin Road en route to northbound 99. We've got a hit and run there. No injuries. Canyon Way at Live Oak. That traffic looks like a vehicle on the right-hand side slowing things down and back into Sacramento. West Eastbound 50, just east of Zinfandel Drive. We have a three-car crash. Emergency vehicles are responding on the way there in the left lane. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Hey, listen.
listen up.
What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
I even got a new pair of chugs. I got surf boys giving cool lust and convertibles till they didn't get enough.
On the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, we're talking about crime and we're talking about punishment and whether the punishment is appropriate for a 19-year-old girl who did not pull the trigger, who did not commit the robbery, but is facing the same penalty as the guy who did pull the trigger, who did do the robbery, and who killed somebody in the process of the commission of that, in the commission of that crime, and that would be life in prison without parole. Is that the appropriate punishment? Steve in Sacramento, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Is that the appropriate punishment?
Channel.
Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Short and sweet, Robert Gates' one-day confirmation hearing ended with a unanimous endorsement by the Senate Armed Services Committee. His nomination to be Secretary of Defense now goes to the full Senate, where confirmation is assured.
This has been an absolute love fest between Gates and the committee because he has the one essential characteristic. He's not Don Rumsfeld.
Daniel Gouray of the Lexington Institute is a former Pentagon official. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss covered the hearing.
Gates, who is being brought to the Pentagon precisely because things have gone so badly in Iraq, was blunt in his assessment before the committee, saying the U.S. is not winning and lots of mistakes were made in the planning and execution of the war. He said all options for a change in strategy are on the table, though said he was inclined against setting a firm and public deadline for pulling U.S. troops out of the country.
The Iraq Study Group's much anticipated recommendations come out tomorrow. In Josephine County, Oregon, a tantalizing clue to the whereabouts of James Kim.
This is frustrating. I mean, we are so close.
Undersheriff Brian Anderson says they found a pair of pants believed to belong to the missing San Francisco man.
It could be he was leaving markers that people were searching for him, something to follow. The way we're treating it is it gives us an indication we are in the right area, we are searching the right area to find him.
Kim's family says he had two pair of pants when he set off Saturday to get help for his stranded family. Trans fats are coming off the menu at New York City restaurants. Today, the Board of Health unanimously approved a ban on all trans fats in restaurant cooking. That could mean difficult changes, but Dr. Peter Sheehan, who heads the Diabetes Center of Greater New York, says some fast food places are ahead of the curve.
Kentucky Fried Chicken saw the opportunity to take the lead here, and they have banned trans fats nationally in all their restaurants.
But the big problem isn't in the fryer, says Mark Erickson of the Culinary Institute of America.
The vast majority of trans fats that are in our American diet today aren't coming from the fryolator. They're coming from baked goods. So things like cookies and pies and cakes and those kinds of things.
Restaurants have until July of 2008 to solve that problem. Trans fats have to be eliminated from frying oil by next July. The countdown is underway for the launch of Space Shuttle Discovery on Thursday evening. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
NASA test director Steve Payne sums it up in a matter of seconds.
Our systems are currently in great shape. Countdown is progressing and we have no issues of consequence.
The only question mark right now is the forecast. Some low clouds expected, says weather officer Kathy Winters.
Because of that ceiling concern, we do have a 30% chance of KSC weather prohibiting launch.
And the weather is expected to get slightly worse Friday and Saturday. This is NASA's first nighttime shuttle launch in 4 years. Seven astronauts flying a construction mission to the International Space Station. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
The Dow gained 47 points today. This is CBS News.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after anyone on your gift list. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send you an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Today's guest stylist is Laura. She's going to Kohl's Half Price Sale, which is this Wednesday only. Laura, tell us what to look for.
I'm in love with these furry knits. Check out the sweaters in super flattering colors, then head straight over to hats with matching scarves and mittens. Awesome gift, but you'll want a set too. This is the season to add texture everywhere, even to your sofa. Wait till you feel these super plush throw pillows.
You'll want to go all out at Kohl's Half Price Sale this Wednesday only from 7 a.m. to midnight. Kohl's, expect great things.
It's a unique and controversial attempt to control gang activity in one Minnesota town. WCCO Radio's Bruce Hagovic has the story.
A New Brighton, Minnesota apartment complex has come out with a dress code for public areas and has hired a security company to encourage compliance. Officials at the Timber Crest Apartments are trying to prevent gang activity from developing. Thus, things like baggy pants and clothing featuring gang colors are banned. Don Rogenbauer is head of security.
Now, if you owned a home on private property, and a gangster walked into your yard and a group of them stood in your yard and tried to cut a drug deal, what would you do again?
The Civil Liberties Union says the dress code will be difficult to enforce and could lead to racial discrimination. Bruce Hogovic, CBS News, Minneapolis.
Audrey Hepburn had a dress code, elegant. The long black dress she wore in the 1961 film Breakfast at Tiffany's sold at auction in London today for $800,000. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS.
Parties.
After 6 o'clock, welcome to Hour 4 of the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. And we have lots more to talk about, and I'm going to add to the conversation. We've been talking about libraries. We have been talking about Schwartz and Schnorr. I'll explain that in case you came in late on that discussion. And we've certainly been talking about crime and punishment. We have been talking about a sentence for a 19-year-old. A girl who was the driver of two people. One was her boyfriend, and the other was another person. And the other person is the guy who was the committer of the crimes, I think, and maybe the boyfriend, too. The boyfriend apparently cased the places that they were going to rob. She was the driver. She was the taxi service because these two guys didn't have cars. And the guy who really committed the robberies shot somebody dead at close range, at point-blank range. And she has been convicted of murder. She just her trial is just ended, and she faces possibility of life in prison without parole. And the shooter faces the same sentence. And I don't think that they are the same kinds of crimes. She's certainly culpable, but aren't there degrees of culpability? Now, a criminal defense attorney called us and he said, "Hey, she's the accomplice." It apparently turned on whether the jury believed that she knew what the two guys were up to as she was driving them around. And since she has driven them around to 7, and I guess 8 altogether, robberies, they whatever the evidence was, they believed that she knew what they were up to. There was videotape that showed her and the boyfriend buying bullets or going in to buy bullets at a Big Five sporting goods store. So the jury, she was convicted, and it came much to her surprise. Her attorney says that she is, essentially says that she's immature. He says she's a baby. And during the trial, she was chatting and fiddling with her hair without realizing the possibility of really grave consequences. And when the verdict was read, he said she was shocked. She was emotional. She was just stunned. In her mind, she believed that the right decision would be reached as far as her fate. Now, I wonder how much her parents knew about what she was up to. I think at $50,000 a year, whatever it costs to incarcerate somebody, life in prison without parole is too long. I don't think she should face the same sentence as the shooter does. But you may disagree. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And we have been, this has been a compelling conversation now for the last hour. Huey and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Huey.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good. Is this the appropriate punishment for her?
Well, I don't think life without the possibility of parole is. However, I think that life with the possibility of parole could be appropriate. This is more than someone who went on, you know, one trip with this person. I mean, 7 trips, that's taking carpooling a little too far, I think.
taxi service, too.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and, I mean, she clearly was inextricably involved in this criminal activity. I don't think life without the possibility of parole is appropriate, but I think a sentence, an indeterminate sentence, where she has to go before a parole board at some point and show that she's turned her life around, I think is appropriate. One of the traps I think that we all need to avoid falling into, and it's a hard one not to fall into when you're dealing with a 19-year-old female who is just driving around here, supposedly, is one of the things that happens is I think in a lot of these cases, the criminals appropriate for themselves the sympathy that more properly belongs to the victims' families. You know, and I just think about the grief of...
Well, the victims' families have to be in great grief, and I would imagine if it were in my family, I'd want everybody to go to the pokey forever.
Yeah.
And worse, you know, you want to carve up their livers for dinner.
Yeah.
Thank you, Huey. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-2613-20. Bonnie and Zach, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Bonnie.
A long time no hear.
That's right. We where have you been? And what do you?
I've been here.
What's the appropriate punishment for this 19-year-old?
Anyway, I think probably a minimum of 10, with probably parole at the end of that time. I don't think she should.
If she were to turn her life around.
Pardon?
If she were to turn her life around.
Yeah, she'll be around 40-ish. And if that doesn't get her attention, something else will, you know.
No. She'll be 30-ish. She's 19. So in 10 years,
so
she's 30 years old.
Yeah, that's...
29.
She'll be what?
29.
Yeah, 39, right on 40.
No, 29.
Yeah, 29, excuse me, yes. And maybe another 10 on top of that if she hasn't gotten a clue yet.
Okay, bye.
Also, I wanted to say this. Because I couldn't get to the phone on Friday. You were asking about Condi, blah, 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 and Bud W. Yes, I do believe there is a relationship there, a very highly specialized one. I won't go into the details, but yes, I do believe.
They're having an affair? You think Condi and W are having an affair?
Oh, yes, I have.
What is what is your evidence?
Uh-huh, but it's highly specialized.
Uh-oh.
Let me leave it at that.
All right, we'll leave it at that. And think Bill Clinton. All right, thanks, buddy, for the call. I think is probably what she was talking about. 349-1320 opens up a line. 866-626-1320. John and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. What is the appropriate punishment for this 19-year-old girl?
10 years probation.
10 years?
Wait,
10 years probation? You mean, in other words, she never goes to the pokey?
No, if she strays within that time, then she gets the full sentence. You might as well keep her as a productive member of society. I mean.
Oh, I think she's got a. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't give her 10 years of. She'd have to go to the pokey for a while because I'll tell you what. It's got to be a very sobering experience to be in the pokey, and I hope never to have that experience.
Well, I don't know. Just to keep an eye on her, and she's too young to.
Oh, John, you are too kind. Okay, I thank you for the call. I hope John gets to be my judge if anything ever. And if you're a parent, listen. If you're the victim's family, these people can go forever and burn in hell. But if you're a parent, as we had one person calling saying, if it was your daughter, 4 years. That's what she said. 349-1320. Renee and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. What's the appropriate punishment, Renee?
Hi, I tend to agree with a couple of the prior callers. She needs to be in jail for at least 10, 12 years. And for that, you need a sentence of like 25 to life because you have to serve half of it. But there are a couple of points. One of them you mentioned at the top of this hour about how she was with them when they bought the bullets. And to me, that makes her more culpable. She knew that there was a possibility somebody could get killed. And so, you know, she...
All right, I'll play devil's advocate. He says, I have a gun. I'm just, you know, I use this for self-defense. I'm out of ammo. I used it. Yeah. I'm out of ammo. I need more bullets. Could you drive me over to the sporting goods store?
And then to the gas station and the liquor store so I can hold...
Well, I need a drink.
Yeah. And the other comment I want to make was...
All right, let's think about this, because I haven't thought about the actual crime. So let's say she's the taxi service, and let's say you just committed a crime. Don't you say something along the lines of, step on it, we got to get out of here quick?
Right.
Don't you? I mean, she'd have to have an IQ lower than our president's not to know what was happening.
Right.
Although I'm not sure that's possible to have an IQ lower than our president's.
Well, and then one other point I wanted to mention. Her attorney mentioned how stunned she was and how she was sitting there playing with her hair during the trial. Where was this guy? I don't think he did her any favors by representing her. You know, he could have tried to plea bargain her and have her testify against the other two to get her less sentence.
Well, and maybe what he should tell her, too, is don't play with your hair while the jury is observing you. And, you know how they take these people and they dress them up, you know, axe murders everybody. They dress them up to make them look prim and they make them look like they're solid citizens. So somebody should have given her some advice.
Right. I mean, the fact
although, in fairness to the attorney, he may have, and she just decided to blow him off, and she knew she was going to get off, and she didn't do anything, so therefore she was going to tra-la-la out the courtroom.
Well, that could speak to why she was an accomplice in all of this and why she needs to go to jail.
Or a brain transplant. Okay, Laura, Renee, thank you for the call. 349-1320. Laura in Stockton. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Enid. I just wanted to tell you, yes, I think she deserves the punishment she got. We have a felony murder rule in California, something like we have a three strikes rule. Is it harsh? Yes, it is harsh. It's designed to discourage criminal activity. And then I would have a final thought. Do you think any shooting would have occurred had she not been driving these robbers from robbery to robbery?
Well, you could say, yes, you could. Laura, are you an attorney?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you. Somebody called in and said they were going to commit the crimes anyway, whether she was the taxi service or somebody else. So I don't know that that's much of a defense. But let me ask you, what latitude does the judge have in sentencing here?
I would think under the felony murder rule, he doesn't have any. If you're convicted of participating in the criminal endeavor, you go up the river. It doesn't matter that everybody promised each other nobody would shoot anybody and nobody would get hurt. That's classic felony murder rule. You do the crime, you do the time.
All right. Well,
I agree with you. It's probably harsh, a 19-year-old, but so is the three strike rule.
We need to change the three strikes rule. That one's a preposterous one and has been for a long time. But let me ask you this question. She is getting let me go back here for a second. You're saying that very likely the judge hasn't got much discretion here, and that very likely the sentencing is going to be murder or a life in prison without parole. Can he say life in prison with parole or 25 years with the possibility of parole?
Well, first, my specialty is my understanding is the felony murder rule gets you whatever penalty the statute says it gets you, that the court doesn't have much discretion, really doesn't have any discretion. So I'd be shocked if the court has any discretion at all. On other crimes, I believe that there are parameters, statutory parameters, whether it's life with possibility of parole or not. Like, for instance, life with possibility of parole means you usually would qualify to be considered for parole at a certain period of years. I can't tell you what that is. I don't know.
Well, if this is a determinate rather than indeterminate, if she's going to get the same sentence then, very likely, as the shooter. And she was just the driver. So, statute aside, is that fair?
My recollection and understanding is the law doesn't treat her any different than if she were the shooter.
That's right. The law doesn't. She gets the same. So, forget it from a point of view of the law. Just from a point of view of morality or common sense, is that a fair sentence?
Oh, I tend to think it is. If you're going to discourage criminal activity, it's the only way you can go.
Okay, Laura, you're breaking up, but I thank you for calling. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Chris in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. What is the appropriate punishment for this 19-year-old girl?
Hi, I think probably 25 with possibility of parole, but my real question is, what if she were a male? What if it was a male? How would people feel?
I think they cut her less slack, I think.
You think so?
Yeah, would a male be playing with his hair in the courtroom and having chatty conversations? I don't know.
Well, no, I think that people will tend to agree. Well, I don't know. I think that it's different with the male and female, especially a young girl. But if it were a male, I think that, people probably have no question, life without parole.
So you're saying if it were a male, people would say that's it. But still, I mean, the idea is that she didn't pull the trigger. But those attorneys who have called us said that the law doesn't treat it any differently. So, all right, I see what you're saying, and I thank you, Chris.
I'm just saying for the opinions of the
callers.
Okay, I thank you for calling. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check.
Thank you very much. Looks like we got some things going on, Southbound 99. Now, we had the Elk Grove, one at Sheldon, Mack Road, and Fruit Ridge Road. But at Dillard Road, there is a two-car crash over there, and it looks like stopping traffic down. So if you're headed south on 99 and you are wondering what's going on, that is it. There's crashes all over the place. No injuries, though, but emergency vehicles are blocking the scenes. Westbound 50, just east of northbound Watt Avenue, we have a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Moving the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Right now at Mattress Discount.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the west, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
7:44 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. I want to add to the conversation. We've been talking about prison and appropriate punishment, crime and punishment, but I also, you know, we have covered the Kramer story pretty thoroughly. Well, apparently Andy Dick, the comedian, has not learned anything from Michael Richards or Kramer. According to sources, the hopped-up comedian hopped on stage Saturday night at L.A.'s Improv Comedy Club and dropped the N-bomb on a room full of stunned clubgoers. He was heckling comedian Ian Bagg during his routine when Andy Dick allegedly got out of his seat, jumped on stage, and began joking with Bagg. The subject of Michael Richards came up. The two comics quickly moved past it. And then, as Andy Dick exited the stage, he suddenly grabbed the mic and he shouted at the crowd, "You're a bunch of," and then he used the N-word. The stunned crowd gasped and stared at each other. Ian Bagg tried to play it cool and move on with his set, but the laughs were not there. So why did Andy Dick do this? Because he's living up to his name? Is that why? Is he looking for a career boost in publicity? Did he think he was being funny? It wasn't funny. 349-1320-866-2613-20. We're talking about a 19-year-old girl who provided the taxi service for two guys who were going around robbing gas stations, and one of them shot somebody point blank and killed him. And his sentence and her sentence, she wasn't the shooter, she didn't pull a trigger, she didn't commit the robbery, are the same. Life in prison without parole. So those of you calling in who are attorneys say the law doesn't discriminate. Also, we're hearing that the court hasn't got a lot of discretion here. That, very likely, now, I'd like to hear from a criminal defense attorney, another one, very likely, these two are going to have the same sentence, which is life in prison without parole. Is that the appropriate punishment if you could wave a magic wand? Calvin in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Calvin, what's the appropriate punishment?
Oh, hey, yeah, I think that she got the appropriate punishment. You know, I think we need not forget. We also have young men in this state that are serving similar sentences that are 15, 16 years old, sentences in adult court. She clearly knew what she was doing. She clearly knew what was going on, and I think that she should, you know, she needs to fess up and take, you know,
But life in prison with no parole, I mean, that's it. She doesn't get out of the pokey for the rest of her life.
That's it.
She's 19 years old. She's just on the brink. I'll be your defense attorney. She's just on the brink of adulthood, where lots of things start to happen in your 20s. She's still a teenager. She's 19 years old, and that's it. She, whatever is left of her life gets spent behind bars.
That's correct.
Which is better than the victim. The victim is not going to have a life.
The victim is dead. And, you know, a lot of people, I think one of your callers said, a lot of people are forgetting about the victims. You cannot forget that somebody out there is seething and would like to take the law into their own hands. And, you know, this thing is running through the proper process. But we have 15, 16-year-olds that I've dealt with just within the past hour that are serving 30 and 40 years.
Calvin, why have you dealt with them?
Robberies.
Why have you dealt with them? Do you work for the...
I work with them.
Okay.
California Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections.
Okay.
I work. That's where I work. And I just left from dealing with some just today. I deal with them every day. And the way I see it, if these kids are pulling that sort of sentence, they're going to have the same. You know, she's an adult. We can paint this. We can call her kid, child, talk about her youth. She's an adult, and she clearly knew what she was doing. She clearly knew best.
Now, she didn't pull the trigger, and she didn't commit the robbery, but she was the driver.
Well, let me throw a case at you. You heard about the case with the paintball shooting, right?
The kids
were pranking.
No, why don't you refresh my memory?
Okay, well, they're going out pranking, shooting people with paintballs.
Okay.
One person got shot with a paintball and went jumped off their bike and ended up hitting their head on a bench, one of the bus benches,
uh-huh.
And died.
Oh.
And everyone there, all of them under 18 years of age, will be in there until I'm dead.
They were all convicted of what, homicide?
Of homicide, yeah.
All right, Calvin, you work with these people, and in what capacity are you working with them give me some sense of the capacity in which you work with them.
I'm a teacher.
All right, you're a teacher. What happens to them when they go in at 19 and they spend the rest of their life in prison? What is there any typical trajectory that they're, you know, any arc that their life takes? What happens?
When they go into, I work on the youth side. I work for the kids that are up to the age of 25.
So you don't see them beyond the age of 25.
Yeah. But okay. If they're going to the penitentiary, I don't see them beyond the age of 18 because they don't stay there any longer than the age of 18.
Okay.
So
and where do they go after 18?
They go to the prison.
Okay.
And they serve their time.
So you're making a distinction between the penitentiary and the prison.
Do I make a distinction?
Yeah, you're making.
No, it's all under what used to be the California Department of Corrections, and then there used to be a California Youth Authority.
Uh-huh.
They've combined, you know.
Everything's
on. Has combined those two and called it the California Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections.
All right, so when you see kids, what's the longest you've seen kids in? What's the youngest you've dealt with, kids in the adult system?
That are going to the adult system, 15.
15. And if you've seen them, what happens to them? Any observation that you can make when they've been in after a while?
In what sense?
Well, I just wonder whether they... Yeah, I suppose it's individual. I mean, I just wonder what happens when you go in at such a young age. It's got to be a sobering experience. And I can envision that some kids begin to wish that they'd done things differently because they have some time to reflect on it. And other kids really probably get advanced degrees in criminal skills. And become hardened and cynical and awful. So I would think it's individual, but I just wondered if there were any observations that you could share with us since you've seen it up close.
Well, one thing is that when we're talking about someone losing their life, we're no longer talking about rehabilitating a person. We're talking about punishment. We need to get that part clear. It's surely about the punishment when you talk about a homicide where someone's died. When you're talking about someone that's going out committing robberies or petty thefts or things like that, and this is all they're in for, that's a whole different thing. Then this becomes a issue to where we can give them counseling, we can help them get themselves up to par academically, and hope that they can get out.
So if you have committed a homicide, if somebody dies, there's no attempt to rehab. To rehabilitate you at all. In other words, is there any case to be made for rehabilitating even murderers so that they can contribute something back, whether it's behind bars or some other way? Is there no attempt at all, you're saying, to rehabilitate?
Well, there is. But what we're talking about is the punishment for a homicide supersedes anything within the California legal system.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It supersedes anything. And so we're talking about the punishment, and irrespective of what good they do, they can never bring back and undo what they've done.
That is right.
A person that goes out and vandalizes neighborhoods or something, paints up and does millions of dollars worth of damage, can always get out and go out and work with people and contribute to them.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
The Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I guess a Christmas rap, or Christmas rapping, one of the two. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, this just in. You know, the family, the Bay Area family, the CNET editor, they're looking for him, and they found the wife and the two children. Well, search teams have found pants in a rugged canyon today as they followed a creek for signs of the missing San Francisco man who set out 3 days earlier seeking help for a stranded family. 35 years old. He remained missing a day after his wife and two daughters were found in their car stuck in the snow on a remote road in the Coast Range. What were they doing there? I don't have any of those details, but I don't think it could be very good that they found his pants since it's cold. How would that happen that they would find his pants? I'm trying to construct some scenario. If anybody's got any ideas about it. We're talking about crime and punishment. We're talking about a 19-year-old, the driver of two guys who committed crimes, one of which resulted in a homicide. They were committing burglaries, and she didn't pull the trigger, and she didn't commit the robbery, but she's still going to face the same sentencing, it looks like, as the shooter. And that would be life in prison without parole. She's 19 years old. That's it for her. Eric and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eric.
Yes, hello. I was calling about the gentleman who called in earlier referring to the civilian inmate labor camps.
Yes.
And if you remember, the Patriot Act version 2 that was passed earlier in this year. Among some of the other provisions in this very large bill, one of which was to make wiretapping legal retroactively for the last 6 years, there was a proviso. I believe the gentleman was correct about the figure of $385 million, but essentially it didn't refer to specifically civilian inmate labor camps. It did refer to prisons. He's correct. They are being contracted by Halliburton, although that part was not specified in the Patriot Act 2 legislation. What they were doing was they were creating these prisons for the purpose of rounding up people who were in violation of a new proviso in the Patriot Act, where if you were committing a crime by protesting at a national security event or an NSE, they could round you up and send you to one of these prisons. It's in the act, and it's a very long bill. I'm sure nobody's read all the details of it. But
how do you know about that part of it?
Well, I read the bill actually back when I think it was March or April when it was passed. I write a political column, and I actually got the legislation off the internet and I read through the whole thing. Somebody had told me about it, and I didn't believe it until I read it myself.
Well, Eric, where do you write your column? For whom do you write your column?
I've been doing this for about 5 years now.